is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
McCoy at the 10, at the 5, into the end zone. Touchdown! What a great run! He's in trouble. He is dropped. Kyle Williams dropped it. Oh, baby, what a hit. Tyrod looks. Tyrod on the run. Nobody in front of him. Touchdown! There's T-Mobile into the end zone. Boy, touch to the right. Outrunning everybody. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts.
Well, hello there. Welcome to One Bills Drive. The day after, John Murphy alongside Donald Jones. We're here to talk some Bills football with you over the next 3 hours. I don't know if that'll be enough, 3 hours today, but because there's a lot to chew on, but we'll make it work.
We call this Fry-yay. I like Fry-yay.
Fry-yay?
Yeah, Fry-yay.
Or Fry-boo. Line of the day.
No matter, what is Fry-boo?
No matter what happens the rest of the day, Marty Baron on the Instigators has already had the line of the day.
What was that?
There's no I in team. Actually, he said, there's no I in team.
Dare.
But there's two I's in invoice.
There's no I in team, but there's two I's in invoice.
Marty wants to be paid. I don't blame him. Good for him. Line of the day. We're here for a couple of hours here to talk about Bills football. Got a pretty good lineup. You, of course, are welcome to join us at 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-552-550. What's on the show, you might ask? Well, we'll eventually take a trip around the locker room and hear what they were saying in the locker room, in the Bills locker room at MetLife Stadium. We'll listen to some of the highlights in our game rewind. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, going to join us at the bottom of this hour at 12:30 to help us make sense of what went on in the Jersey Meadowlands last night. 1 o'clock, Sean McDermott will pick up his news conference and a couple of injuries. He doesn't typically go into great detail about injuries, but he'll have an opportunity to when he meets the media today at 1 o'clock. And they've got a couple, Zay Jones, who left the game twice and eventually stayed out, and Tywan Jones, a running back. We'll hear from Sean McDermott at 1 o'clock. Coming up around, 1:30, I believe it is, Greg Cosell from ESPN's NFL matchup. Greg Cosell will break down the Bills' breakdown in New York last night and talk about the rest of the NFL schedule. And coming up at 2 o'clock, more discussion about the game. We'll have NFL true and false, all that kind of stuff. So that's the lineup today. You're welcome to participate. Lines are open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Are you stealing my rundown there, buddy?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I have one right here to my left.
Yes, you do.
That's crazy.
Well, Donald, it was a mess last night. Things started out badly and got worse. I was down there in Jersey calling the game. You were up here in Buffalo watching the game.
Yeah.
You had that group, right? At
I was over here at the whole it was an event over there, the Van Miller.
Van Miller Club?
Yeah, Van Miller.
And how did that go? Was everybody
a little bit down?
Yeah, I would
think. A little bit down. You know, it was a big group of people in there.
We
had a lot of fun. It was a Bud Light event.
Yeah, try distributing Bud Light. Yeah.
You know, I had some fun. They had this like life size beer pong.
Okay.
And you know, me and Billy Buffalo, we killed it.
Really?
We won a few games. Yeah, I mean, everything that I do, Murph, when I touch it, it turns into gold. And so, you know, it's kind of how it ended up. And so people were upset with us. They didn't want to take pictures with us or any of that stuff. But, no, it was a big group of people. They were doing tours, the Stampede, the drum line.
Wow.
Those guys were in there. And everybody was all excited until the game
started.
And
then the game started.
Yeah. And then everything just went downhill.
How did that go over, the game?
People left by halftime. Everybody was like, yeah, I'm going home. So then I found myself leaving in about the third quarter. Because nobody was there except for the people who were working the event.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
People left the Meadowlands last night. I mean, first of all, it wasn't very full at the start. And as the game went along and the clock went along, people left. I mean, it was a rough game to watch. It was really rough to watch. And it was rough for Bills fans in particular. And and a loss, I think, that exposed some faults. But think about this, Donald. The Bills going into that game yesterday were the fifth seed in the AFC in the playoff standings. Fifth seed, first wild card spot. You know where they are now in the AFC playoff standings?
Still fifth.
They're fifth. 5-3, not what they were looking for, hoping to get out of there with a win yesterday. They didn't come close, did not play well. But if you're concerned about the playoff standings, they're fifth seed, 5-3, 3-2 in the conference, number two seed in the AFC East. You know, with the terrible news out of Houston, you would think that the Houston Texans are going to have a problem being a playoff contender. I don't believe, even with their win, I don't believe the Jets are playoff contenders. Miami's got a ton of issues coming off a 40-0 shutout loss. I don't think much of Baltimore. I mean, where is the challenge going to come from? I'm not saying anything is locked up and the Bills have to play immeasurably better than they played last night. But They're still very much alive. Fifth seed going into the game last night. Fifth
they
seed
still
today.
Control their own destiny.
Oh, yeah.
You still have four games in your division that you have to play. Two of them at home, obviously. We know they're 4-0 at home, and we know that's what they preach, winning your home games, winning your home games. You still have to play the Chargers. You still have to play the Chiefs, which are all both AFC teams. So you still have a lot ahead of you, and you still control everything that you want to control, and the Colts game. So you control your own destiny. But you have to play a lot better than you did last night. That game, I didn't expect that. I knew the Jets team was going to play hard. They've been playing hard all year. I didn't expect for the Bills to come out and play the way they did last night.
I agree. There's a lot to talk about today on the show, including the impact of playing on Thursdays after a Sunday. Both teams did it, so there's no excuse for the Bills. But it is an issue, and Richie Incognito quite notably talked about it last night in the locker room. We can talk about all the Bills' failings in that game last night. Cannon eventually will spin it forward a little bit and look at what's coming up. And I think there are some promising signs on the horizon in terms of players returning from injury. But we want to hear your take, too. And the phone lines are open, 803-0550. And toll-free from outside Buffalo, 1-888-550-2550. Your thoughts on the game? What do you think? How do you think it went down last night? Give us a call at 803-0550 and toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Got a Twitter poll up. This is typically what we do on Mondays. In fact, I think we did it this past Monday after the win against the Raiders. Mm-hmm. So what's your biggest takeaway from last night's Bills loss to the Jets? I mean, there's a lot of things to take away, but what's at the top of your list? I guess we're kind of asking, what do you think is the most critical factor in that loss last night? And what have you learned about your team, the Buffalo Bills, based on that loss last night? That's our Twitter poll. It is up right now, and you can chime in that way. You can also do it on the telephone lines. What's the biggest takeaway from last night's loss to the Jets? Right now, with early voting, 67%, two-thirds of you say the struggles of the offensive line. There was no question. They had their worst game of the year, struggled badly, never got things going in the run game, did a horrible job of pass protection. 67% of you say that's your biggest takeaway. 22% say it's the defense. Missed tackles has not been a problem up until last night. Lack of pressure. That's been a problem for a couple of weeks. Yeah. 22% of you say that's your biggest takeaway. 7%, only 7% say you've learned that takeaways are critical. And 4% have something else in mind. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. Or on Twitter, if I'm voting, and I will, I would go with the minority thing. We've talked about it all week, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks. What happens when the takeaways dry up? Mm-hmm. An incredible string over five games. The Bills with 15 takeaways in five games going into last night, and only three turnovers during that time frame. They were plus 14 on the turnover ratio, number one in the league, and then it ended last night. It ended abruptly. And actually, it ended, and I have the play in my mind right now in the first quarter when Josh McCown threw a pass to the sideline, and the Bills' nickelback, Leonard Johnson, got not one but both hands on it, and couldn't bring it in. I mean, it was about the 35-yard line or so. The ball was right in his hands, a poorly thrown ball by McCown. It was actually about the 25-yard line, and Leonard Johnson couldn't hang on. That was the point for me, and again, it was fairly early in the game when I thought, okay, that's the pick, that's the play that they've been making now for 5 weeks, and the play that they did not get in this game. And it began, and I'm not saying the game was over there, but it certainly was a play that led me to believe, okay, this is a little bit different game than what we've seen the last month or so.
I joke with DBs all the time, especially when we get all of the DBs on the team. We get them on air. I joke with those guys about, what do you guys do? You do push-ups? I joke with them about, you guys are DBs for a reason. Well, I joke with them, but I'm dead serious when I'm joking with them because I struggle to see DBs fight footballs, fight trying to catch the ball. They're like fighting the ball, and it's like – Just it's like they get so excited when they see a ball coming to them that they, I don't know what happens in their mind that they can't catch it, and they fight the ball. It's just relax and catch the ball. You got to catch the ball first. They get excited because, oh, he just threw it to me. And then they're probably thinking in their mind, I'm about to take this to the house. I'm only at the 25-yard line. Then all of a sudden the ball goes right through your hands. That play right there really, I think – I don't want to say it hurt the team, but I think when that play happened, if he would have made that play, emotionally the team would have just been on a different high.
If he would have made that catch, Leonard Johnson, and we're not pinning this loss on him, don't misunderstand this. Had he made that catch, that interception, it would have been, okay, here we go. This is us. This is how we play. Here's another takeaway. This one coming with about 3.5 minutes left in the first quarter. This is us. And when he doesn't make it, it's like, huh, That's a play we've been making.
That's
right?
A play we've been making. And when he doesn't make it, I'm telling you, you see all the DBs like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like it just sucks the life out of you. You know, and obviously they had to punt that ball away because that was third down. But imagine making that play and getting that ball on the 30-yard line. You know, and now you can go in and score easily, and everybody's emotion is just in it. Like, let's go, man.
Even a field goal at that point.
Right. You know, let's get this thing going. This is what we're used to feeling, these turnovers and that excitement. You didn't have that last night, you know. And so, but for me, I wouldn't go with the takeaways, you know, because this team hasn't done the best job of scoring off of those turnovers anyway. I think I would go with the O-line struggle. And it was hard to see the O-line struggle. And I know a lot of people want to put it on Tyrod Taylor and all of that stuff. But you go back and watch the film, and you watch that pocket collapse on Tyrod Taylor. He couldn't step up and out. He couldn't do anything that he wanted to do, because they were rushing five guys, and Tony Romo pointed this out on the broadcast. They rushed five guys. Their guys in the middle are very good. Their guys on the ends are very good, and their linebackers are fast. And they did a perfect job of rushing around but not rushing up the field where he could step outside.
Yep.
You know, and they just collapsed
like
the pocket.
Like Cincinnati did a couple
exactly.
weeks ago.
And they have the athletes that can do it up front. And they just collapsed that pocket where Tyrod had nothing to do. The first play of the game, it was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you know, because he rolled out and rolled right into him. But that defensive line, they just dominated our offensive line. And that's just what it was, you know. And their offensive line dominated our defensive line as they got the run game going.
Yeah.
And so, for me, I'd have to go with the struggles of the offensive line, and I would put the defensive line in that one as well.
Okay. Donald and I have a list of the game, our, what we liked. Short list. Mm-hmm. And what we didn't like, a little bit longer, and we're going to get to that as the show moves along. We're also going to highlight some of the big plays in last night's game as we move through the show. And we'll take you inside the locker room. You can hear what they were saying last night in the Buffalo locker room late last night. But in the meantime, let's hear from you. The lines are open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here until 3 o'clock to talk about the Bills, the Jets, and the Bills at midseason. I was thinking, Donald, just to look ahead and
to
do a little production of the show while we're on the air. Next week, Monday, and probably into Tuesday, we should do the Bills at midseason on this show. Don't you?
Are you the producer of the show?
I'm producing
the
show right now. Jay's the producer.
Oh, all right.
No,
all right.
But don't you?
No,
think?
But yeah, no, we should do our midseason.
We should do midseason evaluation next Monday, like where the Bills are at,
mm-hmm.
what has happened so far, the good and the bad, and what you can expect moving forward.
All right, let's do it.
All right, make a note in the control room. Make a note. That's next Monday's show. Jay Harris, I'm on it. All right, phone calls 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550. Start with Phil in South Buffalo. Hello, Phil, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing? I wake up today and I'm seeing all the messages on Facebook and everybody just bashing Tyrod, and there we go, the good old Buffalo Bills that we're so used to and the ones that we know so well. And I got to say, it's not Tyrod's fault. Tyrod, I think, is still a phenomenal quarterback. He really didn't have the coaching in the years past to allow him to blossom the way he should have. Then you take a look at the way the defense allowed almost 200 yards rushing, which we never do. The takeaways, right. I agree he should have caught that ball, but it happens. That's why he's not a wide receiver and he's a DB. You know what I mean? What were the standout plays for me and the reason why we lost, and these two plays in particular, we would have won by a point if they didn't happen, where Nick O'Leary decided to get up. That was just dumb.
No. I got to disagree with you, Phil.
First down on a third and 19.
Phil, I got to disagree with you there. Before you go on to the next one, Phil, before you go on to the next one, I got to disagree with you. If you're not touched, you get up and you keep going. Now, he fumbled the ball. Of course, they stripped it out of his hands, but you're not going to just lay there if nobody touched you. That would be dumb. Your coaching staff would say, what are you doing? Nobody touched you.
Yeah.
At the same time, if he would have got up, tossed the ball to a referee, reset, and kept it going, that drive would have continued. The other play that I see stand out in my mind was the Matthews play where he was playing volleyball with himself. He served himself the football. That, again, would have been another first down, or if I'm incorrect, it might have been a second and three or something like that. But those two plays right there were the turnovers that decided the game. Because out of those two plays, the Jets scored 14 points. Take 14 points away, now the score is 21-20.
Yeah. The first play, the Nick O'Leary play, you know, it was a smart play to get up. He just didn't hold on to the ball, and they stripped it out of his hands. The Jordan Matthews play, that one is one where you wish, and I'm sure he wishes that he didn't try to reach out for the first down, but naturally that's kind of what you do. You know, you reach out when you're running and you're trying to get a first down. You don't know exactly where you are, but you reach the ball out, and he hit the ball with his other arm.
Yeah, but he had that tucked, and anybody that has the ball talk like that shouldn't be serving it like a volleyball.
Yeah.
Like, I know where your left hand is. Like, you bumped your right arm with your left hand. Like, come on. That's a little loop mistake. Like, that's not even a college or a rookie mistake. That's a little loop mistake.
All right, Phil, thanks. You'd like to have all those turnovers back,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you would.
If you would have known the ball's popping out, you would have done it differently.
The Nick O'Leary play was a smart play to get up and keep going. Now, he got stripped, all right? And to be honest, look, the Bills have been doing that to other people for the last however many weeks, you know? And so he got up, kept going, and they came and they stripped that ball out of his hands. He has to do a better job of holding on to the ball. The Jordan Matthews play, that was tough.
Yeah.
You know, that was tough. He was trying to reach out. He's falling to the ground, you know, so he's bringing his other arm, trying to break his fall, and it just hits the ball out of his hands.
As far as poor tackling, which there was probably more missed tackles in last night's game than in most of all the other games combined, I would think, a lot of missed tackles, a couple of reasons for that. But we were talking before the show, you think that this recent string of takeaways might have had something to do with the poor tackling. The Bills have been so proficient in stripping the ball out that maybe that's why they didn't lock people down and bring them to the ground.
I think you see that all throughout, especially college and the pros now. Guys are trying to get turnovers. And you see it when you see a guy come in and he's trying to strip for the ball. And, you know, the running backs and wide receivers have balance. They can continue to go. So these guys are going for the strip and not the tackle, not the secure tackle, when you're supposed to secure the tackle and the next person come in and strip the ball out. You know, that's what they did on Nick O'Leary.
Yep.
They had him secured and the next person came in and stripped the ball out. Instead of that, these guys trying to strip it, and they're missing tackles. I'm sure they're going to get back to tackling 101 in these 10 days as they prepare for the Saints.
As they head to the meeting room today, that video is going to look a little ugly.
Right? It's going to look bad. And you know, if you're a guy on defense, like, man, I missed that tackle.
Yeah.
I missed that tackle. I busted this assignment, things like that, you know. And you just – when that play comes up, it's like, you know, too, as soon as the play comes up, you're like, oh, here we go. You know, you don't want to see it. Nobody wants to see this game from last night.
803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A call here from Ralph in Buffalo. Hello, Ralph. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hi. How you doing, guys? I want to ask, how come we don't have a pass rusher?
Ralph, I think we do have pass rushers. Now, these guys haven't been getting to the quarterbacks that much, you know, so the sacks have kind of dried up here.
Oh, yeah.
We do have some pass rushers.
I'm not sure what's going on with it's not even a sack. I was going to look at sacks. I'm not even going to look at the sack numbers. It is look.
The last four games, I think we have two or three sacks.
Yeah, but it's not even about sacks for me. It's about pressure. And I think they've done a pretty good job up until last night of putting pressure on, and the pressure has contributed to some of the takeaways. You know, they're up against quarterbacks who are getting the ball out. Josh McCown falls into that category, I think, last night.
Mm-hmm.
And look, the defensive line did not play well last night, but yeah, you got to get more pressure. I think they got to dial up pressure, Donald. I think they got to manufacture pressure. They got to call blitzes,
I'm saying. And
they very rarely blitz on this
defense.
Because they got away with it early, but they really got to think, dial it up, switch up what they're doing.
I think so. You got to dial some things up. You have to. What'd you say, Ralph?
The Jets had a spy on Tyrod. We never have a spy on nobody.
Well, we don't need a spy.
We don't need a spy on Josh McCown. You know, he's not. He's not Tyrod Taylor. He's not Cam Newton, one of those quarterbacks. What you need is to switch it up on these guys, especially if they start going quick game on you. Switch it up. Bring somebody else, a linebacker, and drop out a D lineman, you know. And I know that's not what they're used to doing, but sometimes you got to do that and confuse the quarterback, especially if they're going quick game with slants and different things like that. You can drop a defensive end right into that spot, and you got an interception right there, you know. And I know Coach Frazier and Coach McDermott, they like to just have pressure with the front four. But when you're not getting there consistently with the front four, you got to dial some things up, you know, and try to – we saw it early in the season. You saw Jordan Poyer coming up, and he had a couple of sacks. You know, you got to do some things so that it can free up a guy like Jerry Hughes or something like that.
Here is Brad in Rochester. Go ahead, Brad. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thanks.
Man, that was a tough watch last night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Flashbacks of last year's Jets game, I should say. And I believe that
Thursday night, yep.
Also, it seems a lot of times when we play at night, we don't play very well for some reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just in my head or if that's the truth. But last night, two things. Number one, Mike Tolbert. From what I've seen this year, unless the hole is gaping, he is a non-factor running the football. Guys bring him down. He's not running anybody over. He's not very nimble. He just, to me, is not a viable option as a backup running back. And I can't watch the All-22, and I don't watch game tape. From what I saw on TV last night, Dukas, our right guard, John Miller was pretty promising last year. I believe he was maybe most improved rookie guard of the year last year or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe we don't have a better guy than Dukas. Like, Groy's not better than him. And also, doesn't Deion Dawkins play guard in college for a couple years at Temple? I think I remember them writing, like, he was a road grader in a running game. And that couldn't they bump Dawkins in and put him at right guard now that Cordy Glenn's back and keep Jordan Mills at right tackle? Is that an option or no?
I mean, I think anything is an option with, you know, Ryan Groy and Deion Dawkins, because both of those guys can play up and down the offensive line. So anything is an option. I don't know if that's what they're looking at doing, though.
I don't know. I you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when they made the switch to Dukas, how we believe that they like Dukas' size and much more than John Miller. But we'll see if that changes. Mike calling from Lockport. Mike, you have some thoughts on this matter as well, I believe.
Yeah, John, thanks for having me on. I reiterate the previous caller there. I blame the offensive line for losing the game. The Bills, the offense was not on the field long enough. There was three and out too many times. And this new guy.
Hello? Did we lose you? I think we lost him. No, call back, John. I got a tweet here
that says they feel like Jamie Cook says they feel like we should call more screenplays. And that's something that we haven't been running here. Now, when you have a team like what the Jets were doing yesterday, they were bringing blitzes, their front four, their front five, these guys were just pinning their ears back and coming, you know, and you have a running back like LeSean McCoy, I'm surprised that we haven't thrown a little more screens in there, you know, so just to keep those guys honest, you know, just keep them honest. Just throw a screen out there so that they have that fear of they might run a screen on us. They've kind of been getting away from the screen game over the last few weeks.
Here's something that surprised me, the relative inactivity by LeSean McCoy last night. He had 12 carries in the game. He had one passing game target. There were no, you know, he wasn't on the injury list all week. There was some mention, I think, on the CBS broadcast that maybe he had a groin. I hadn't heard that, didn't know that. Maybe Sean McDermott will address that coming up at 1 o'clock when he carries his news conference live. And I found myself and actually saying to Mark Kelso on the radio broadcast last night, you know, 27 carries for Shady last Sunday, you know, age 29. Maybe they're trying to spell him a little bit. Maybe that was what was going on. But I think they needed him more involved in their offense. And, yes, at the risk of tiring him out, maybe even wearing him out with 10 gays until the next game. But I do think, and this goes to the caller's point about Tolbert, I think I needed to see more McCoy in the game plan and in the actual execution on the field last night. The offensive line was not playing well. But I think, you know, he's the guy. He's the guy that they lean on. I need more than – you know, 12 carries and one pass target to LeSean McCoy.
And my thing is, look, I know, you know, he's coming off of what, 27 carries or something like that?
27 carries against the Raiders.
I understand that. But this is a divisional opponent, you know.
Yeah.
And this is I understand it's a short week, but you got to gut this one out for us. You know, we got 10 days until the next game. You got, I don't know what their schedule is for the weekend or whatever.
They're off Saturday, Sunday.
Right, you know, so you got a weekend off now, and then we get back into our regular routine of Monday, Tuesday probably off, and then Wednesday, our normal stuff, you know. So we need you to gut this one out. And I was surprised to see him not on the field, you know, for most of the plays. I know he played in like 70-something percent of the plays, but he just wasn't getting the ball. They went away from him.
And, you know, a lot of that is they get behind. Now they're down by a couple of touchdowns, and the passing game will be the focus of attention. But early in the game, while it was still an issue, boy, I just need the ball in his hands a lot more than what they did last night. They were talking about it. We were there late last night after the game, the 34-21 loss to the New York Jets in the Meadowlands. We're making our way around the locker room and listening into the news conference. Here's what the Buffalo Bills had to say. It is time to go around the locker room. Head coach Sean McDermott says that did not look like the Buffalo Bills.
This is uncharacteristic of this team to date, you know, the way we've played so far. We've got to learn from it. You know, we got out-coached, we got out-played, you know, fundamentally. You know, we weren't very good. And then you look at the penalties, you know, some of those were, you call them aggressive, a few of them. But other than that, it was you can't do that. You expect to win a game in the NFL. So we've got to get better. We'll learn from this. And no excuses. You know, we give credit to the opponent, to the Jets. They beat us straight up tonight.
Bills center Eric Wood, where did those 7 sacks come from?
It's easy to say the ground game not going and the penalties, and then you get backed up and it's tee off fest. You give that talented of a D-line, 2nd and 15, 2nd and 12, 3rd and long, 3rd and long, 3rd and long. You know, they're going to tee off on us.
Running back LeSean McCoy on the struggles in the run game.
Just adversity hit us. We didn't respond well. Particularly myself, I didn't play well at all. Took it as a challenge, you know, knowing guys would come in here and try to stop me and stop the run. And I didn't respond well at all. So, something we got to work at. You know, it's a loss. You know, we'll go back to the drawing board, watch the tape, learn from it. We have a nice time off, get the bodies, you know, right, and let's get ready for our next game.
Quarterback Tyrod Taylor, the Bills now 1-3 away from home.
What we have to do better is execute and stop the negative plays. And tonight we had a couple turnovers on offense. That's not our style of play. If you look at the games we've won and the games we've had success, we protected the ball, myself included. Had a fumble tonight, and that's not something that I do. So got to be able to protect the ball on the road. Can't give those teams those opportunities, especially on short field. So like I said, we have to regroup as an offense, have to regroup as a team, and come back and hit on all cylinders. We have the Saints.
Safety Micah Hyde on the play of the Buffalo defense.
We just gave up too many big plays, and they just ran the ball, you know, basically down our throat the whole game. So we understand what happened. You know, it's a tough one to swallow, but it's still a long season.
Linebacker Lorenzo Alexander was the short turnaround a problem for the Bills.
At the end of the day, both teams had to play Thursday on a short week. And as professionals, we have to be up for it. We just didn't come out and start fast. And once stuff went bad, we never kind of come out of that funk. Nobody ever really stepped up, you know, from the leadership to really establish the momentum and kind of change it and shift it. And we all kind of dwelled in the mediocreness, you know, all night. So that's something that we have to do better, you know, as leaders on this team to step up.
That's Around the Locker Room, presented by NOCO, at work, at home, and on the go. The Bills in the locker room yesterday. We got a lot of ground to cover today, and we're going to continue to engage with you about the Bills' 34-21 loss to the New York Jets last night. So come on back when we return. Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, going to be here in studio with us to talk about that game. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
More of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Shotgun formation. Tyrod takes, looks, looking left, fires down the middle of the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown. Zay Jones. Touchdown, Buffalo. That's a Hilbert College call of the game. At Hilbert College, the community, the feeling, and the values are different. See Hilbert College. See differently. Go to hilbert.edu/See different.
You know, I just want to say, leave it up to a lineman to get in the way of the camera where you can't see the entire. You know, linemen, they always want the spotlight.
That camera runs around in the end zone, though. You know, those guys run around with that.
Andre Holmes ran into the camera.
Yeah.
When he got the force used against him there. And
he did. Back. Yeah, but Jordan Mills was just standing in front of the camera, like, get me.
That was a Star Wars celebration, right?
Yeah. Is that what I was saying? Absolutely.
Yeah. That's right.
Donald, care to comment on that particular celebration?
I couldn't see the whole thing. It looked nice. You know, we talk about war, yeah. I've been talking to our producers. We're going to do a celebration segment every week.
I look forward to that.
All right.
Chris Brown joins us, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, in studio with us to help us break down the debacle in the Meadowlands. Beautiful night down there, Chris. Full moon. Did you check out that full moon before the game?
I did see it.
Beautiful night. But and once the game got started, it was not beautiful.
Not much to celebrate. No.
No.
It was an ugly game.
The Twitter poll today, Chris, we're trying to get to the kernel of what went wrong. What's the biggest takeaway from last night's Bills loss to the Jets on Twitter? Right now, with almost 900 votes in, 68% of our respondents say the offensive line struggles. 22% say defense, missed tackles, no pressure. 6% say the takeaways, the crucial nature of takeaways that was missing last night. 5% say something else. I'm voting takeaways, and we talked about this even yesterday when we were on the show, Chris. You know, we were, I think, posing the question, what happens when this incredible string of takeaways dries up? We found out last night.
Right, but I still think the bigger thing was the battle at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. They lost in spectacular fashion. It was awful, awful. And, you know, people say, you know, they want to make excuses about the Thursday night game, not getting enough time to run. Well, the Jets were in the same boat. The only thing they didn't have to do was travel. And if you look at all the Thursday night games this year, the road team is 5-4 in 9 games. So it's split right down the middle. So don't use Thursday night in a short week as an excuse. The players, for the most part, were not last night, to their credit.
There was one who was.
Right. No excuses. We got beat. And Coach echoed that sentiment. We just got flat-out beat, and they did. They just didn't bring it last night. They were flat from the start. And, you know, you don't bring your A game in the NFL, you're going to get embarrassed.
Exactly.
And that's what happened. And it was just troubling to me how effectively – and it's a good defensive line, don't get me wrong. I mean, McClendon, Wilkerson, and Williams – I mean, Leonard Williams and Muhammad Wilkerson on the edges, holy cow. Those guys occupied two guys each – so the linebackers were running free. I mean, that's why the Jets linebackers had four of the 7 sacks last night, mm-hmm. because those two guys up front were wreaking havoc, and they did not have an answer. But it wasn't just the offensive line. The defensive line, the run defense was just flat-out bad yesterday. I mean, just getting gashed for big runs. Gap integrity was poor on the first two series. They're ripping off 7-8-yard runs. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you look at Forte and Powell. Forte had a 20-yard run. Powell had a 51-yard run on which there were 3 missed tackles,
yes.
Which pretty much put the game away, that run, because it led to that touchdown. I think it made it 24-7. So really, both sides of the line, terrible, terrible performance, probably the worst collective performance at the line of scrimmage all season long.
Nobody's going to dispute that, Chris. It was awful. It was terrible to see. It was unexpected to me also. I thought they had kind of turned a corner when it came to, establishing what they wanted to do offensively. We talked about that a lot over the last couple of weeks or so, the player-coach summit meeting that went on during the during the bye weekend, and how they kind of straightened out what they wanted to do running the football. And I give the Jets, you know, full credit for being a strong defensive front, but I guess I thought they were beyond that sort of struggles up front on the offensive line.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
No, not based on last night. I thought they were.
And it's hard to try to assess line play because none of us really know what the assignments are on each and every play. So, you know, we're limited in the scope of which we can assess, evaluate, criticize if we feel we need to. The bottom line is when you're on skates and getting driven 2 yards into your backfield, or LeSean McCoy has someone all up in his kitchen right after he's been handed the ball, you can't expect your feature back to perform when there's no room to run. Tyrod Taylor, by the same token, no escape routes. No. There were no escape lanes. They put 4 in the box. They put 8 in the box, and when he dropped back to pass, I think what they did differently was they ran their ends up the field, but they had linebackers sitting right in the gaps underneath those upfield mm-hmm. rushing lanes, so there was nowhere for Tyrod to escape. And I'm just going to say this, Tyrod played a whale of a game. I'm just going to say that right now, because to be under that level of duress, complete 72.5% of your passes when you're getting the tar kicked out of you, I was impressed.
Yeah.
I was impressed with the game that Tyrod Taylor played with the duress that he was under from start to finish in that game. That guy took a licking, kept on ticking. You want to talk about a leader on offense? That's your guy right there, because in that game, easy for the quarterback to just bury his head and say, what the heck? What would Jay Cutler be doing in that game? Huffing and puffing, sulking on the sidelines. He would have said, you know what, put somebody else in, I'm done. That guy played start to finish, completed 72.5% of his passes, fought to the end of the game, and had very little help. Very little help on the offensive side of the ball.
Brownie's getting
He's
warmed
getting
up.
Warmed up. I like it. No, you were right though. They were rushing outside. They weren't rushing up the field where he can get out, you know, out the sides of that thing. He had the linebackers right there. Yeah. They were pushing up the middle as well. So when he would try to step up, he was stepping up into somebody.
Right.
You know, he had nowhere to go.
If you look at where Tyrod's game has improved each of the last 2 weeks, it was knowing when to step up in the pocket by an extra half second, deliver the football. Mm-hmm. And he did that on the touchdown pass to Zay Jones, but the Jets effectively took that away with McClendon being the biggest guy affecting that by pushing Eric Wood or a guard straight up the field into the offensive backfield. The other thing that the Jets did that was unconventional, and Eric Wood pointed to this, was when the Bills ran 11 personnel, which is three wide receiver set, one back, one tight end, they stayed in base defense and said, okay, you want to beat us with the pass game, let's see you do it. And I think there was some good advanced scouting by the Jets, because a lot of times the Bills run out of 11 personnel because they want to spread the field a little bit more and give Shady more running lanes. Well, they kept the linebackers in. They had three linebackers on the field. And so what happened there was you had guys effectively holding the edges. So, again, no escape lanes for Shady to bounce a run outside. It was all bottled up, and it was a very effective approach for the Jets against the Bills' run game.
And the Jets are able to do that because they did not respect the outside targets, right? We'll keep base personnel out here because we don't think the combination of Andre Holmes and Jordan Matthews and Zay Jones can beat us outside.
Right. And we know that your quarterback likes to buy time, and make things happen. So if we collapse the pocket the right way, he can't buy time. He won't have anywhere to go. That is his game.
Yeah.
Stepping up, stepping out, and making plays down the field. If he can't do that, there's nothing that they can do.
And that was, we talked about this after the Bengals game. That was the Cincinnati template with those long-armed outside.
You're going to see it again.
Defenders.
Yep, you're going to see it again. So with 10 days before the next game, the coaching staff, the offense, they're going to have to come up with a solution to address that. I would have preferred, I think the Bills, and I don't know this, but my suspicion is that after that opening bootleg play, first play of the game, when Tyrod ran into the waiting arms of Leonard Williams or whoever it was.
No, it was an outside linebacker.
It was 48.
48. Yeah,
yeah, 48. When he ran into the waiting arms of an outside linebacker, I think it scared them away.
Jenkins.
From doing more bootleg, more moving pocket, and I think that's exactly what they had to do as the game wore on. Just immediately put him on the move and try to get him to make plays that way, and instead they stuck with the pocket passing game, and that was just not the formula the way it was going. They had to make an adjustment there, and I didn't think they did that. I think it was due in part to the fact that the first time they ran a bootleg, Tyrod got his lunch handed to him.
We're with Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive, trying to break down the Bills' loss to the Jets last night. What's your biggest takeaway from that game? Lines are open, 803-0550, and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. On the line with Emmanuel. Hello, Emmanuel. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
How you doing? I'm going to say turnovers, missed tackles, and penalties is why we lost this game. We got destroyed in the trenches. This is what reminds me of the Super Bowl years where the Bills, they were such a great finesse team. We are still a good finesse team, but we got beat in the trenches, offensive line and the defensive line. They just looked worn out. The defense looked worn out. The offensive line looked worn out. Those guys just looked huge on the Jets' defense yesterday. Just looked like they were just overpowering our offensive line and our defensive line. So I think something's got to change on that. Jerry Hughes, he's a hothead. What he did with the referees cost us penalties that, you know, he's not getting any pressure. I don't know what Shaq Lawson is doing. Kyle Williams, he's starting to wear out too. So.
Okay, you're going right down the roster, and I get it. I get the frustration. I don't think it has been a finesse team for a couple of years on offense. Do you?
No, because they've run the football. I mean, they've hit people in the mouth, man-on-man, hat-on-hat type blocking. No, I wouldn't say they're a finesse team. They're a run-first team, and that's not a finesse team. You want to run the football, you got to hit people.
Right.
So I don't think calling them a finesse team is accurate at all. I will say this, Jerry Hughes really has to get it under control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He does.
Any idea what happened?
You could see it coming. When games go the wrong way, Jerry gets frustrated.
But what
and he's a
exactly
guy,
did he do to merit that penalty last night? Could you see it? Because I didn't
yeah,
see
he was F-bombing the official. You can't do it. I mean, it was dissent. That's what officials call dissent. You're arguing with the official. You get one chance to knock it off. He didn't knock it off. He just kept yabbering at the official, and that's why he got the 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. I mean, you know, Marshawn Lynch took it another step. He bumped an official, got a one-game suspension. Jerry, you know, is only going to get a 15-yard penalty, but you can't be mouthing off to an official. It's bad enough, you know, you're mouthing off to another player, you know, and trash talking and stuff. I understand that's going to happen. You can't do it to an official. And you could see where it was going. As soon as the game starts going the wrong way, Jerry gets very frustrated. He's a player that wears his emotions on his sleeve, which can be valuable in some cases, but it can also be detrimental. And when things are going the wrong way, Jerry is usually the first one in line who's right. doing the wrong thing, whether it's giving an extra shove to a player after a play. You know, he bumped a helmet with another player
that.
On offense after a play.
Yeah,
and I looked at a couple of people next to me in the press box. I said, watch, it's coming. And it took almost a quarter, mm-hmm. but it happened. Yeah. And Jerry gets flagged for 15 yards. And for a veteran player on this roster who's looked to by younger players on this roster, you got to be better than that. Hey. You just got to flat out be better than that. I understand guys get on the field and they change into a different person. They feel like they got to be keyed up to be the best player they can be for their team. Totally get that. But you got to know where the line is between controlled aggression and being out of control. And Jerry struggled with that at times.
Just not a major factor in the loss last night, but I think a bit of a factor. Why is Brandon Tate inactive last night 3 times in the first 8 games?
Two of them losses now.
Yeah. What particular roster pressure were they feeling last night? Was it the safeties, not sure about Poyer? What do you think the thinking was there?
I really don't think it was a roster numbers thing. I know some people were saying, and I drank a little of the Kool-Aid on that, you know, maybe you need to have Elston up in case Poyer can't go 60 plays. But they've had Elston and Poyer up together before.
Right.
Yeah. You can move things around
but maybe
on
you
special teams.
Shemarco Thomas for teams?
Trey Elston can do everything that Shemarco Thomas can do on special teams. I mean, he may not be quite as fast. Yeah. May not be quite as fast, but are you really losing that much? I mean, what's the risk reward there?
Yeah. Right. I would have loved to have Brandon.
I'd rather
Tate
side with the guy who's going to have the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
That's where I'm siding. So, you know, and field position was a problem last night.
Yeah.
You look at their average starting drive position. I think 6 of their 13 possessions were their own 25-yard line or in. You know, that wasn't the case for the Jets, who had 3 possessions, I believe, in Bills territory. Mm-hmm. So it was about a 16-yard drive start average difference. That's a giant number. Doesn't sound like a lot, but in terms of average drive start, a 16-yard difference, that's a huge swing. And it made a difference in the football game, no question, along with the 3 turnovers, which obviously set up some of those short fields.
Yeah.
But the only time the Bills had a drive start in Jets territory was off the onside's kick.
You know, Brandon Tate, to me, is a solid returner. He makes good decisions, number one. He catches the ball consistently. But when he catches the ball, he is dangerous. Like, he hasn't taken them all the way through the house, but he consistently has big or good returns, right? And there were a couple of punts that, you know, nothing against Micah Hyde, you know, a solid player, but that's not his strongest suit.
He's
Brandon Tate,
catcher.
Right, you know, Brandon Tate, this is what he does. And
right.
So there were a couple of them where you could imagine if Brandon Tate was back there catching that ball with that much space,
yep.
he might get some more yardage out of that.
All that being said, it wasn't going to win him the football game.
No.
I mean, it's a minor thing to look at and assess, and going forward, you know, I think they're better. They're a better return team with Tate on the field. I don't think that can be disputed.
What about the string of penalties, as we were talking about Jerry Hughes? All of the penalties from last night and going back to last week as well.
This was a team, for most of this season, at the top of the league in fewest pre-snap penalties. They had 6 last night. 6 of their 11 penalties were pre-snap of the pre-snap variety. False start, offsides, illegal shift, those kinds of things. Those are all pre-snap penalties, and more than half of their 11 were done in that fashion. And back-to-back weeks, 11 penalties, over 90 yards in assessments, that's not going to get it done.
Right.
It's just not. They're now 26. They went from being top half of the league to 26th in the league in total penalties assessed against them. I think they're up to, 70-something now on the season. So it's just, it's not good. It's got to get fixed. Fortunately, they have 10 days to do that. Now, you know, all this being said, guys, the sky isn't falling.
Right.
I think if any Bills fan out there was told at the midway point you're going to be 5-3, you want to take it, they would be buying big time. Mm. Buy. I'll take it. You know, and I think in the grand scheme of things, this is probably going to be a one-game aberration where they just didn't flat out have it. I'm not saying they're going to rip off a string of 3-4 straight wins, but I think they're going to get back to being right there in every game, even against some of these juggernaut quarterbacks they're going to be going against, because it's a rough string coming up here. Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, Alex Smith, who is the highest-rated passer in the NFL right now, and Tom Brady.
Chris, we've got to let you go so you can get over there and talk with Sean McDermott. We're going to carry that news conference live. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, joining us in studio. Come on back a few minutes away from Coach McDermott's news conference after the game. The John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. Again, thanks to Chris Brown. You can catch his work at BuffaloBills.com. He'll have more analysis of last night's loss. We're talking about last night's loss to the Jets, and Tom in West Seneca has a few thoughts. Tom, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Don. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
Really appreciate it. There's three components that played into the Bills' loss last night, so I give them a pass. First of all, three to rest is not enough, and, of course, turnovers and penalties. And it's just clear that those were the three of the main factors. We play as a team. We lose as a team. There's one play that I have to point out that I think that O'Leary is a tremendous talent, but he committed a cardinal rule, a cardinal sin. He broke a cardinal rule when he got up after being tackled, but he really wasn't tackled. He got up and looked bewildered, like, was I tackled? I think the rule of thumb is, if you're not sure, you get up and run. But I don't think there's any reason to press the panic button. We win as a team. We lose as a team. And I'm sure the second half of the season will be 5-3 and make us 10-6, hopefully 11-5.
Hey, Tom, what's the cardinal sin? That he got up or that he looked bewildered?
He looked bewildered, I think.
And that's pretty much it, guys.
Tom.
I'm on that, okay?
Tom, you still there?
You still there, Tom? Question for you, Tom? Hello, Tom? I guess he means that he wasn't ready, but
yeah,
no O'Leary we're talking about.
You know, it's you do get up and you run, you know, but I don't fault him for getting up and looking around like, oh, I'm not touched yet. He still actually ran. He still got some more yards. He got like 5 more yards and then got the ball stripped out of him, you know, so.
Sean McDermott standing by, the head coach of the Bills, is going to address the media, answer some of these questions when we return. So come on back for that. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts, live at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports. Update
from One Bills Drive. The Bills looking at it as sort of a mini-bye the upcoming weekend after their loss in New York last night. Players here at One Bills Drive today watching video, getting in some conditioning work, loosening up after taking a pounding in the Meadowlands. Jets beat Buffalo 34-21. Their turnover takeaway spree came to a crashing halt. No takeaways yesterday, and Buffalo coughed up 3 fumbles. Rough night for the offensive line, just 63 yards on the ground, 25 for McCoy, and the Bills gave up 7 sacks in the game. Head coach Sean McDermott will address the media any minute now. We'll carry it live. Maybe an update on the injury status of wide receiver Zay Jones and running back Tywan Jones. Bills players get Saturday and Sunday off, then back to work Monday to get ready for another home game. The Saints play in Orchard Park a week from Sunday, 1 o'clock in New Era Field. Saints are home Sunday at 1 to play the Tampa Bay Bucks this weekend. Elsewhere around the National Football League, the word from Houston is bleak. Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson will have season-ending surgery after tearing an ACL during his practice yesterday. Tore the ACL in his right knee. It happened about midway through practice on a grass field yesterday. Watson appeared to trip or fall, but according to people at practice, he did not yell. So the Houston Texans make a move. They have signed a couple of quarterbacks, Matt McGloin and quarterback T.J. Yates, who was here with the Bills during the offseason. Yates has extensive experience in the Texans organization as they try to replace Deshaun Watson in Houston. In Dallas, federal appeals court has granted the NFL Players Association a brief stay in the Ezekiel Elliott case, reinstating the Cowboys running back's eligibility for Sunday. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. Sean McDermott at the podium across the way in the Bills media room. Let's listen in to his comments after last night's game.
Vic, so that's where it is right now. I know he did some he was walking around, and everything, so we'll just see how that goes today.
Taiwan?
Yeah, Taiwan's going to be out for the year. He, with the right arm, he broke his arm last night, and as you saw, was in a lot of pain, so he's going to be out for the season at this point.
Sean, is there a realistic chance for Charles Clay and EJ Gaines both to return against the Saints?
There is, yeah, there is, absolutely, Joe. And, they've made a tremendous amount of progress. They've done some good things. Charles and EJ, I know Charles for a fact worked out last night, and so they're both heading in the right direction.
Coach, was there a specific game plan in mind for LeSean to have limited touches and snaps? It just seemed like he wasn't on the field as much last night, especially in the first half, and obviously didn't have as many touches.
Well, he was on the field probably, one of the top play times that he's had all year long, Sal. Touches was another thing. We had a hard time getting the run game going, credit the Jets. And so sometimes with that comes, you want to adapt and adjust to what they're doing, what they're trying to take away. And that called for, and the situation as well, called for the fewer touches, especially down the stretch.
Was there anything, though, to last week? Because he had, 30-something touches last week. It's a short week, obviously. Anything that had to do with it?
No.
Coach, just with respect to the extra time, I know you give players some of the downtime, but for the coaches, what might be on tap in addition to just getting a head start on New Orleans?
Right, we're going to, obviously take our time going through the film today with the players and then revisit it as a coaching staff and follow up in some areas on the film and continue to communicate with what we did well and what we need to improve on. That's a lot of areas. So, and then from there, we will transition into the Saints, another good opponent, home game for us, and certainly an elite quarterback. So I've had a chance to go against them for a number of years in Carolina in the division there and know what Coach Payton and Drew Brees bring to the table. So a very, very big-time challenge and very good opponent.
Is there any danger in possibly overreacting to a dramatically bad night just as you might to a dramatically good one? Or do you take it at face value? And how do you approach the film evaluation of a game like that?
Well, you have to start by being honest with yourselves and looking at it, and that starts with me looking at what we did well, what we didn't do well, so that we can, try and copy what we did well and get more of it, and then obviously make the proper adjustments with what didn't go well. And so, to your question, Vic, is a consistent approach is the best approach. I know what we did just 5 days ago. This was somewhat uncharacteristic, I would say, overall of our football team to this point in time. That said, though, we have to make the proper adjustments from this game.
Sean, with it being an uncharacteristic outing for your guys, how much, considering when the game ended and when you got home, how much sleep did you get before you dug into the film and really got accurate?
Well, I started on the plane ride home, looking at the film trying to learn, because I know if I sit there and just stare off into the back of the seat in front of me, I'll beat myself up, and that's what we do as coaches, and that's the process that goes on. So I just our video guys do a really good job. They get me the copy of the game on the laptop there on the Surface, and I'm able to start into it pretty quickly there.
Did it make you feel any better?
In some areas it did, in some areas it did, and then in other areas it just, you just kick yourself because there's a lot we could have done better. And like I said before, that's my responsibility.
What was your response to Jerry Hughes' penalty, the one where it was disrespecting the officials on making the second half?
Yeah, I wasn't happy about it. Penalties overall, I'm not happy about. And then those types of penalties are not characteristic of how we do things here. It's hard enough to win in this league, and when you do things like that, it's I wasn't very happy about it.
What sort of discipline have you imposed or can you impose on Jerry for that?
That'll be between Jerry and I. So.
Coach, with respect to the running back position now, with Taiwan out for the year, are you seeking someone with a similar skill set? I know we brought a speed element to that position, obviously, and special teams as well, or are you just looking for the best guy you can come up with? Maybe it's Joe Bannon, I don't know.
Yeah, right. Brandon and I spoke about it a little bit this morning in terms of the overall roster, the running back position, certainly with Taiwan's situation, and those conversations will continue today and in the next couple of days, and we'll come up with the right formula for us moving forward.
With respect to Tyron, under duress pretty much from start to finish, and I know this isn't the only stat that you measure quarterback play by, but the fact that he's got over 70% completion under the duress that he was under from start to finish, can you just maybe tell us what that says to you?
I think he continues to develop as a quarterback, and he took a step forward in some areas last night, and I thought he threw the ball. He was decisive at times, and threw the ball fairly accurate most of the night, with a presence in his face. And there's some things though I know that he wants back, and he can learn from as well. So there's, we win as a team, we lose as a team, and the great part about these group of men is they're in this room, in the meeting room there now, and they care. And I know we didn't get the result that we got last night, and that we want for ourselves, for our fans, but we go back to work, and that's what we do. This is a building process, and sometimes there's pain, and we experienced a lot of that last night, and that's not fun. Sometimes you have to go through adversity to grow, and so that's the most important thing that we can focus on and control right now is what we do with it, and we've got to get our focus on those areas where we can grow and learn. And some of those are fundamentals, some of those are techniques, some of those are on me from a coaching standpoint. So we have to continue to learn and grow and use this to make us into a better, stronger football team moving forward.
You have done a really good job. The team has a tackling this year. Last night, obviously a little bit different. Anything you can pinpoint about why the tackling was breaking down last night?
Nothing in particular. It's going back to the fundamentals, Bucket Sal. It's one of those deals that if you don't stay on it every week in practice, every day, and I'm not saying we didn't, it's just it rears its ugly head just like other fundamentals. And so this game is so fundamentally based, and yourself as a coach that's what happens. In order to play well on defense and special teams, you have to tackle well. And then you have to use your hands to get off blocks. It's a game of, what they call hand violence, and you've got to be able to play with your hands on both sides of the ball.
What was your reaction to Richie's comments after the game about Thursday night games being completely unfair? You had some other words about that as well.
I'm just focused on really our football team, honestly, Mike. And they had the same time to prepare that we did, and that's really what I'm focused on is how we handled things and how we can get better. And that's in every area of our football team.
With that in mind, handling the short preparation from a coaching standpoint, this was your first go-around as a head coach there. In any way, do you think that got away from you? Were there aspects of it that maybe you now look back and say, you just... maybe would prepare it far differently because of how it went.
That's really the first thing I did. Vic, you know me well enough by now to know that the very first thing I did after the game was to say, hey, what can I do differently? And that starts with our process of what was our schedule? Do we have the right schedule? Did we work out enough times? Did we work out too much? Those are the things that you inventory and you go back and you do some self-check and self-analysis on my part of it in terms of the schedule and all the things that happened before the game and what we can learn from this. And if we have a Thursday game or a short week that comes up another time, how can we get better in our process of our operation? I think that's where it starts in terms of the evaluation off the field, and then you look at on the field. Certainly. So that, I think, common sense-wise, is the right thing to do there.
I think there was a couple of times where you guys tried some screens to kind of slow down their pass rush. Was there a reason you didn't turn to that maybe a little bit more in light of the consistent pressure they were getting?
Well, there's some things we can, you know, as we look at it, you know, that we can do differently there. And you know, just as, to your point, look to slow them down. I thought, you know, there's some things we could do there. You know, I thought we had success with some of those areas, as you mentioned. So that's all part of the learning for us as a staff and as a team.
The offensive line in particular, whether it was in the run blocking or pass protection, seemed to be kind of under siege almost all night. After you looked at that, any particular reason that stands out to you as to why that was?
Well, a little bit of what Chris mentioned, you know, you go back and first of all, you start off by giving them credit. They played extremely well. And then after that, you look at what we could have done better, and you talk about fundamentals, as I mentioned earlier, technique. You talk about changing the pace, changing the tempo of plays, some of that. You know, those are areas we can all learn from and grow. And as we grow together as a team and continue to grow, those are things that will make us stronger moving forward if we take the right lessons from these situations that came up last night.
Why did you decide to have Brandon Tate enacted last night?
Well, just a numbers deal, really. I've got a lot of confidence in Brandon, just more of a numbers deal. You know, you can only have so many guys active and trying to get – we had Ramon come back and trying to keep the linebackers, you know, the entire linebacker group active as well.
How do you feel? Do you feel good? You know, just kind of explain, you know, maybe your thoughts on Zay Jones having such a nice game last night after his early season struggles. Obviously, there's been a lot of chatter about him. And he's seemed to have locked it out the last 2 weeks, actually, to have yet last night's game.
Right. I mean, you look at – there were some bright spots in the game last night. You look at Zay is one of them, as you mentioned, Sal. So, you know, Zay has been going through the process that rookies go through and rookie wide receivers in particular. And I really love the fact and the way that he's stuck with it through the first 8 weeks of the season now. And last 2 weeks, you know, you saw a little bit of a climb last week and then a bigger climb last night. So – that's all a result of his hard work, his dedication, his mental toughness, and the way that the coaches have continued to work with him as well. So I was very pleased by the way he played last night.
You mentioned you're at the midway point of the season now, 8 games in. Last night aside, how do you sort of assess big picture where this team is at the halfway point?
I would say that, you know, we've certainly done some good things. Jay, it's really, you know, we are still building. We're not where we need to be. You know, we've won 5 games, which I'm proud of, the fact that we've done that. We have to continue to build, continue to do things the right way, continue to evolve as a football team of what it takes to win on a week-to-week basis, what it's going to take to win in order to get to the playoffs, what it's going to take to win when you're in the playoffs. I mean, that's all a coming of age of an organization, a coming of age of a football team. And so, you know, yes, there's been some darn good things that have happened. Great leadership on this football team, great effort. You see the just 5 days ago, the Brandon Tate type of play. This team has come a long way. And so there's a lot we can take from the first half of the season, and yet there's a lot of work to be done. As we continue to build, as Brandon and his staff continue to build the roster, you know, as we continue to build fundamentals, techniques, and continue to establish the standard of what it takes to sustain winning, that's what I'm most excited about. That's where we have to continue to grind.
Coach, I know that the Jets kind of stayed in base sometimes when you guys went 3 wide. Eric Wood kind of pointed to that as making it effective for them to hold those edges. Is that part of the things that you and the coaching staff will kind of dissect over these extra couple of days to come up with solutions, knowing the copycat league that it is?
Right. I mean, you look at, you know, we're at week 8 of the season, so there's probably not too much we haven't seen or too much that hasn't been seen by us, you know, looking at it the other way. So, and it is a copycat league, excuse me. So, you know, it's, hey, here's how we're being defended. Here's how we are defending other people. What's the changeup? How do we adjust? How do we adapt to what's out there? So that's part of that, you know, that process of the communication that has to go on and the week-to-week growth and evolving as a football team. And we've talked before about becoming a multi-dimensional football team, not only winning with one phase of the ball or 2 phases of the ball, but in all 3 phases that we continue to grow and evolve.
Sean, what were your emotions like leaving the stadium after going through really the type of loss that you haven't been through, and on a stage that, you know, you haven't been through as a head coach like that?
Well, I've been through these type of situations before, being around the league. You know, these situations come. No one ever said it was going to be easy. And so I'm not backing down at all. I'm confident in this group of men, confident in this football team, and confident in these coaches that they know what's in front of us. They know the opportunity that's in front of us and how far we've come, and that we're building and we're doing things the right way. I know that we didn't get the result that we wanted last night, and that we wanted for our fan base. I recognize that, and that's hard. That doesn't make me feel good. That said, I'm extremely, extremely excited about the opportunity moving forward. As we continue to build this thing the right way, the foundation that we're creating right now will carry us and make us a stronger, better football team moving forward. And so, I've been on some good teams. I've had a chance and fortunate enough to be on some really good teams over the course of my career so far. And as I said to the team, I don't think there's been one team where you just have smooth sailing for 16 games. If there is, let me know where that's been. But you look at all the great teams, all the good teams over the years. I mean, you go back to, I've been on a number of them where it's not always going to go your way, but it's how you respond to the adversity. It's how you grow from these adverse times that, dictates how far you go.
What's the plan to get Kelvin Benjamin up to speed in time for the Saints game?
Yeah, he's going to stick around this weekend here, and he's already been in the playbook, as we spoke about last night a little bit, and he's working hard, and he wants to be around through the weekend and get up to speed as quickly as possible.
So he should be in the lineup against the Saints?
That's what we anticipate. Yeah, if everything goes as planned, that's what we anticipate. We'll just take it one day at a time right now, Matt. Yep. All right, thanks, guys.
Sean McDermott, Bills head coach, meeting with the media. The injury news, Tywan Jones, Bills backup running back, special teamer, out for the year, the rest of the year with a broken arm. Wide receiver Zay Jones, McDermott says he's walking around, still being evaluated with his knee injury. There's a good chance, he said, there's absolutely a chance that Charles Clay, the tight end, and E.J. Gaines, the cornerback, will be ready to play against the Saints. That's the injury updates. Towards the end, I thought Coach McDermott kind of perfectly outlined the path forward here, and it wasn't as if he's saying, that didn't bother us, let's go get him. He's saying, that bothered us a lot. We got a lot of work to do. Yeah. Let's get down to it after this weekend.
I think it was a good learning experience for this team. You had a team who they had a bye week. They came out, played very well against Tampa Bay. They beat Tampa Bay, and then you beat up on Oakland pretty good, and then you come into – it was a short week. I get it, but you had a divisional game. In any game in this league, if you don't come out on your A game, you are going to get beat, and you might get beat badly, and that's what happened yesterday. They didn't come out on their A game. So, I think it was a learning experience for the team so that they are truly prepared for every game. They won't come out sleeping. Next week, you have 10 days to prepare. Yeah, it sounds like you're going to get healthier. It sounds like you're going to have, obviously, Kelvin Benjamin in the lineup, so you have some weapons out there on the field. But even with those weapons out there on the field, if you don't come out ready to play, you're going to get beat badly, especially against, going against Drew Brees and those running backs that they have now, So I think that they'll learn from this. They'll go back to work and come out next Sunday ready to go.
What's your biggest takeaway from last night's Bills loss? That's our Twitter poll. Your biggest takeaway from the loss to the New York Jets? Pretty much a strong majority say the struggle of the offensive line. 67% say that was the thing they took away. They took away the biggest impact of the game. 21% say defense, missing tackles, very little pressure on Josh McCown. 6% say the takeaways are critical. I guess we knew that. 6% say something else. Give us your thoughts, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550 or via Twitter. Let's take a call here from Bruce in Watertown, New York. Hello, Bruce. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, John and Don. It's my annual call-in from up here in the Great White North.
Hey, Bruce.
The poll question says it all. I'll add the defensive line into it, and it just goes to show you that football games are won and lost in the trenches. Some of the other callers kind of point out that these fumbles from O'Leary and Jordan Matthews, were a big reason why it cost us the game. And those guys, those were effort plays, and it happens, all right? Yeah, they should have protected the ball better. But what I really want to get to is we've got a lot to look forward to in the future. Last night, Tyrod played phenomenal. I mean, the guy was running for his life the entire game. And to put up a stat line and show the guts and moxie to drive the team down and two scoring drives late in the fourth quarter, that's a big bonus. I'm a big Tyrod believer. And also, we're going to get some help to our receiving core. Yeah. And in the line of work that I do, we call it as I see it. And so far, this team has been competitive in every game except for last night. And even they didn't roll over and die. Even in their two losses, they played tough, and they were in it till the end. And I think this is our litmus test coming up. We're going to find out what type of team we are. We've got some good teams on our schedule. And if we do come out 5-3 in the second half, we deserve to be in the playoffs. And watch out to the rest of the NFL.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. Donald, what do you think?
I think, I guess I agree with what he said there. You know, I think just the biggest thing is you still have a bunch of home games. As long as you do what your formula, and their formula for making it to the playoffs is winning your home games. Now, obviously, you need to win games on the road. You got to win a few games on the road. But ultimately, listen, you're not going to go undefeated. They weren't already undefeated. You're not going to win every game. They're not going to win every game. They would love to, but they're not going to win every game the rest of the way out. And even if they come out and they prepare as hard as they've ever prepared, you still have a game where you'll get beat. You know, you might get beat badly. And it kind of happens in games, you know, where something bad will happen. A team might score, and then all of a sudden – it's just going downhill. You know, you get a couple of bad penalties, and then all of a sudden, it's going downhill. It just happens. You know, you don't want it to happen, but it happens in games. Hopefully, like I said, they learn from it, and they come out next week, and they're ready to go.
All right. Hey, we're going to get the view from Greg Cosell in just a couple of minutes. He is the executive producer and analyst for NFL Matchup on ESPN, 38 years experience at NFL Films as a senior producer, a regular Friday appearance from Greg Cosell. Coming up next, we'll talk with him about the Bills' loss. We'll talk with him about some of the other things going on around the NFL as well. So come on back for that. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
Welcome back to the show. John Murphy, Donald Jones. We're coming to you live from One Bills Drive the day after the Bills' Thursday night football loss to the New York Jets, 34-21, the final score. Thursday night football, Bills players here today, off Saturday, Sunday, back at work Monday to get ready for the Saints. Joining us right now on the line, our regular Friday visit with the man who is the analyst and the originator, the executive producer of NFL Matchup on ESPN. He is 38-plus years as a senior producer at NFL Films. He does a great job breaking down video. We always like to have him here on Friday with us, Greg Cosell. Greg, thanks for joining us. John Murphy and Donald Jones here. I know you're in the process of going through the video from last night's game. It was a breakdown on all levels, it seemed, for the Bills last night, Greg, including their defense, which had been pretty strong. What have you seen about the Bills' defense, and why were the Jets able to hurt them so badly last night?
Yeah, it was kind of one of those games where, you know, I felt watching the tape, and I'm also through about the first half of the Bills' offense, where I didn't feel like it was a glaring kind of thing where you went, oh, my God, that's awful. It just seemed the game slowly, particularly the Bills' defensive side of the ball, slowly kind of got away from them. The Jets obviously really focused on running the football last night. They really focused on running the football out of base personnel. And I think they were able to do that because of the score of the game. And they had, I did the math as well. They had 23 rushes for 119 yards out of what we call 12 personnel, meaning one back and two tight ends, plus their heavy personnel package, which was six offensive linemen, which they used 11 times in the game. So they, as I said, combine those two, they rushed for 119 yards on 23 carries, and that's too much.
Now, the Bills' defense has been giving up a lot of too much in recent weeks, even when they were winning some games, mostly because of the way they were taking the ball away. What do you see there? What's going on with the Buffalo defense? Really no pass rush to mention to talk about?
No.
And getting gashed in against the run. What do you see?
Well, you know, I think last night was a game where they did not play well. I don't think that they're stopping the run has been a problem all season long. I don't think each week we talk about them getting gashed in the run. you know, that long run by Bilal Powell, which I think at the time was the score 17-7 at that point or 10-7 at that point? I can't remember. I think it was 17-7 at that point because it was after the Anderson touchdown.
It was, yep.
Yeah. So it was 17-7 at that point where they still theoretically had a chance to come back, and that run started a drive. And, of course, the next play, Forte scores the 10-yard touchdown. You know, that play is a little fluky. I mean, you can point to it as bad tackling. They initially had the play, I think, defensed really well. I think Alexander overran it a little bit from the backside and presented Powell with an opportunity to cut it back. And normally, Murph, and Donald knows this, of course, as well, you know, normally big runs occur because someone steps out of their gap discipline. Mm-hmm. And it's usually, you know, that was an example where no one was necessarily blown up at the point of attack. It's just the gap discipline broke down, and then there was bad tackling, you know, and that's usually the case. It's a breakdown in gap discipline, and it's bad tackling. There's usually no magic involved when your run defense isn't great.
Hey, Greg, you talked about going with that 12 personnel where they have that extra lineman in. It's kind of like a heavy package. Could you see that as a formula against this defense that, you know, they've been very good against the run, but it's not a defense that has a lot of girth up the middle, you know? So could you see that as a package that could work against this defense?
Well, I'll tell you what, Donald. We'll talk about this next week, but the New Orleans Saints are a team that plays a lot with two tight ends, and they also play with six offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're going to find that out next week because the Saints have really evolved as well into a team that runs the ball more this year than we've seen them in the past. So we'll find out if it's a trend, Donald, or whether this was just an aberration kind of game. I'm sure Sean Payton will look at this and say, hey, let's see how it goes. You know, let's see if we can do the same thing because of what you just said. They're not a defense with a ton of girth up front, particularly at D-tackle. Mm-hmm.
Greg Cosell, the executive producer and analyst of ESPN's NFL matchup, on the line with us. You said you're working your way through the Buffalo offense, and it's pretty obvious the Buffalo offensive line had a major struggle on their hands last night. What did you see there?
Yeah, that again, I'm at the half, but I'm sure it's pretty representative of the game. They had some issues in pass protection for sure. I mean, it seemed like Taylor was playing out of a hole much of the first half. Now, he's capable of making plays both with his legs and getting out of the pocket and making throws. But you certainly don't want to be in a situation where your quarterback is under duress as much as Taylor was under duress last night. And to me, it seemed there were a lot of individual breakdowns in pass protection. It wasn't scheme. It wasn't high-percentage blitz. They weren't beating them with exotic or sophisticated pressure concepts where people were running free. It was individual linemen getting beat.
What did you think of Tyrod's performance, Greg?
Well, up to what I've seen, I think he's been fine. I don't think he's been a problem at all. I think he's played essentially the way he's played up to this point all season long. And, you know, as I said, it's just tough to play when you're constantly under duress. And, look, we know he's a shorter quarterback, so when the bodies start to get around him, it's just tougher for him to play and make throws from the pocket.
Greg, obviously you know about the big trade to bring in a Kelvin Benjamin. What does he do to improve this offense? I think we all kind of know, but you watch a lot more film than a lot of us do. So what does he do to improve this offense?
Well, he's a big receiver. I wouldn't say he's a real precise route runner, but he's, as they say, a 50-50 catch guy, Donald, you know, where if he can make catches when he's covered. He can win when he's covered because of his size, because of his ability to go get the ball. And, you know, I always liked Kelvin Benjamin. And, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean were obviously in Carolina when he was drafted. And I know for a fact that there were a number of people on that staff who liked Kelvin Benjamin coming out more than Mike Evans. And they were in the same draft. Now, it's easy right now to say, hey, that's crazy because we have access to some results. But, you know, obviously drafts are done before guys play in the league. And I know that Kelvin Benjamin was thought of very highly by some in the Panthers organization at the time. So I've always liked Kelvin Benjamin. I think he needs some work. He probably needs some hard coaching. Mm-hmm. But I think he's got a lot of talent.
Is he a receiver? Because, you know, I hear a lot about, you know, Kelvin Benjamin is a big receiver, but he doesn't create separation. So what's your thoughts about him creating separation as you watch him on film?
Well, separation is relative, Donald. You know that. Much of that depends on coverage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're facing, let's say, zone concepts where a team's playing cover three or quarters, where corners are playing with outside leverage, I think he runs in-breaking routes really well. You know, and again, you normally can create separation that way because corners are playing with outside leverage. Will he create separation against pure man? Not as well. You'd like to see him be a little more refined and nuanced as a route runner, but he's a big body, and you can't get away from that fact. I mean, he's a big body who can make catches.
Greg Cosell, the executive producer, analyst of NFL Matchup on ESPN, joins us on the Skype. Hey, Greg, let's turn our attention to going around the league and obviously the devastating news out of Houston yesterday. What a loss it is, not just for the Texans, but the league in general, to have a bright rising star, Deshaun Watson, come out with a practice injury that takes him out for the game. Just give me your thoughts on that, and is there any hope at all for the Houston Texans moving forward?
I was really fortunate last night to go to a great event. Ron Jaworski, actually, and you guys know Josh really well. He was inducted into the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame, so I happened to be there last night. And I'm one of those guys, you know, when I drive, I listen to music. So I had an hour drive to go to the event, and I get to the event, and, we had put our matchup show to bed. And I get to the event, and I hear someone say, you know, to hear what happened to Deshaun Watson. And we had a piece on Deshaun Watson in our show this week. And so I was devastated just to hear the news, forgetting about the show, because that kid, I've met the kid, I've been around him. He is an unbelievably great, genuine kid. So I just felt absolutely horrible to begin with. It's just, you know, not great for our league. I mean, he's a rising young star. He's a quarterback. He understands how to be the face of a franchise. So I was really saddened by the news.
Any hope for the Texans moving forward, or does that end their season effectively?
I never say it ends their season. I think that Bill O'Brien, you know, has to run a different offense now, because he clearly integrated and incorporated a lot of college principles to play to Deshaun Watson's strengths, and it was working really, really well. He had so many, multiple backfield actions, all those option elements that you guys have been familiar with at times with Tyrod. That'll go away now, because obviously Tom Savage can't do that.
Hey, Greg, I want to, get to some of the matchups for this week coming up. And one of the most intriguing matchups, Kansas City at Dallas. Give us a matchup in that game that we should watch for.
Travis Kelce versus Byron Jones, Donald. The Cowboys play a lot more man coverage than people think. And when they play man coverage, Byron Jones is almost always the tight end matchup. And I think Kelsey's the most multidimensional receiving tight end in the game, with where he can line up and the kind of routes that he runs in their offense. So to me, if you're looking for one matchup to watch, I would say that one.
What about the full outcome of that game?
What about what? I'm sorry?
The total outcome of that game. What do you expect to see in that game?
Well, now that Zeke's playing, I think they're going to run the ball. Uh-huh. And I think they're going to run it particularly out of what we call 11 personnel, meaning three wide receivers, because Kansas City plays far more dime with six defensive backs than five, and they play Sorensen, the safety, in the box. And their run defense out of their dime when they play against three wide receivers has not been very good. So I think you're going to try to see the Cowboys line up with three wide receivers, 11 personnel, and run the ball against the Chiefs' dime.
Hey, Greg, under the heading of everything old is new again, what do you make of the Broncos turning back to Brock Osweiler this week? How big of a desperation move are we looking at?
Yeah, Murph, that's, it's two quarterbacks, Simeon and Osweiler, who essentially have the same issue, and it's not a good issue against the Philadelphia Eagles. Neither one of them has very good pocket movement there. They lack pocket awareness. And against a pass rush like the Eagles, I think that's a little bit of a problem.
Any thoughts on the Jimmy Garoppolo trade earlier this week?
One or two, sure.
Yeah.
I really like the move. I think it'll take time to bear fruit, because that team needs a lot on the offensive side of the ball. But I happen to be a huge, huge fan of Kyle Shanahan's offense. I love it. And it's a very precise offense. Garoppolo's a quarterback to me that is really precise with his footwork. He has light feet. He has a compact delivery. He can run the boot action pass game, which is a major part of what Kyle Shanahan does. So I think that will end up being a really good trade. It might not be reflected when he does get a chance to play this year. simply because they're lacking on the O-line, and Pierre Garçon is now out for the year. But I think over time, it will really be a good move.
You know, Murph asked you about Denver. I'm going to go to the other side of the ball in Philadelphia, and they acquire Jay Ajayi. What does that do for that team, and does that really, you know, I guess, bolster that team up into that Super Bowl talk?
Well, you know, I think, Donald, you know, in this league, when you get a chance to add good players, it never hurts. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, he took some reps with the first team yesterday, so we're going to see him on Sunday. I'm real anxious to see how Doug Peterson and staff fit him in because, you know, their run game has been very up and down this year. Mm-hmm. There have been some weeks it's been good, other weeks not so good. I'm real anxious to see Ajayi fit in. I like the way he plays. You guys are certainly familiar with him. Wasn't it last year that he had two 200-yard games?
Yep. Yes, it was.
So you guys know what he is. He's a kind of a violent, aggressive, relentless runner who does have some big playability. So, you know, I've always really liked him. I think he was a fifth-round pick as opposed to a second-round pick because of physical concerns, not because of talent concerns. So I think it's a very good move for the Eagles.
Hey, great. Thanks for this. Good to talk to you again on Friday, and we'll talk again next week. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Greg Cosell joins us every Friday. He is the executive producer and analyst for NFL Matchup. You can see it this weekend on ESPN. Also, senior producer for 38 years for NFL Network. And some good perspective on the Bills and their issues yesterday.
Yeah, you know, especially when he gets to sit there and really, really break down the film.
Yeah.
He gets that good perspective of what happened. For those of us who only saw it on TV, you saw it live. We haven't been able to watch the film yet.
I watched the first quarter and into the second quarter today. Yeah. I got more to do. But thanks to Greg Cosell for joining us. Get your thoughts on the game when we come back. Donald and I also want to talk about what we liked. As I said, a very small list, and what we didn't like in last night's game. So stick around. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Now takes the snap. Four-man rush. Stunts up front. McCown is sacked. Back at the 41-yard line. Josh McCown is dropped. Brought down by Cedric Thornton at the 41-yard line. Cedric Thornton with the sack. That's the Advanced Alarm defensive player of the play of the game. Advanced Alarm providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. It is John Murphy Show until 3 o'clock today. Our thanks again to Greg Cosell breaking down that game. Let's hear your breakdown. The phone line's open, 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Tim calling from Buffalo. Hello, Tim. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas.
Hi.
I'll just have a breakdown of what the problem was before the game. I just think the momentum has drastically been taken away from the Bills because they started.
Hello?
They started Ramon Humber instead of the rookie guy who was actually doing pretty good last week. So yeah. I just believe that he wasn't ready. His time wasn't, you know, I think they should have, you know, at least let him wait out until next week. Mm. You know, you just don't start the, you know, because he still was injured and stuff like that. I just want to get your take on that.
Yeah, my take is I thought Humber, actually, I was surprised at how much Humber played and how effective he was. I thought he did a pretty good job on a night that was very, very weak defensively and on 75% of the defensive snaps. I know Matt Milano made some big plays, but Humber, first of all, has experience. Humber, I just think, is a much stouter linebacker, you know?
And I think sometimes, you know, we always forget, look, Humber was a starter.
Yeah.
You know, he's a starter. And so coaches believe in their players who are the starters. Like when E.J. Gaines comes back, E.J. Gaines is going to be the starter. You know, it just kind of works like that. I mean, look, that's why the preseason, I guess, is so important so that they can figure out who the starters are. I understand that sometimes guys will get their spots taken throughout the course of a season. But, you know, Ramon Humber was playing very well before he went down, you know. And so because Matt Milano came in and he had a couple of big plays, one of which was on special teams, by the way. He did have a couple of big plays. He wasn't going to take Ramon Humber's spot, you know. Now, my question for you, Murph, is Humber came out of the game a couple times. You know, he hurt his arm once, and it looked like he hurt his shoulder. You have any?
No, I have no updates. Coach didn't mention it as far as an injury. I think he was okay. Humber had seven tackles, second, I think, in tackles, and two tackles for a loss. So I think he, you know, again, it was not a stellar night for the defense. It was a bad night for the defense. But I don't think Ramon Humber, I didn't view him as being the problem. Let's go to Sean in Dallas. Hello, Sean. Welcome. You're in the air.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, it's going well. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to get my take on the game.
Well, you've come to the right place.
You know, we had the ball in position to, with Matthews' fumble, we were going to put points on the board before the half.
Yep.
Whether it was 3 points or seven, you know, the game could have been tied 10-10 or whatever. I'm just saying that if the O'Leary fumble was in position also to score points. So, I mean, the game actually, the more I look at it, we were there. Those turnovers do hurt, though. And it just goes to show that we didn't get any turnovers yesterday. And I don't know how many points the Jets scored off of our turnovers. But they definitely took away points off the board from us that could have kept us in the game. The team did seem flat. I'm really frustrated to see that. And I'm really surprised to see that they didn't take advantage of the opportunity better. But anyways, that's just what I wanted to throw out there. I think the turnovers, especially those two, could have gave us some points, made the game look a little bit better, and maybe have given us some more momentum.
Yeah.
You guys mentioned the missed interception that we didn't get. I mean, they could have been a different ball game if a couple of those things go your way.
Right.
Guys.
Right.
Thanks.
You know, and that's what loses you ball games. When you turn the ball over, you don't get any turnovers. You have an opportunity for one turnover, you don't get that one. That is what loses you ball games. Now, here's a crazy thing. If you didn't turn the ball over, as bad as they looked, as bad as the offensive line looked, as bad as they looked on defense, if you didn't turn the ball over, because I do believe they scored off of some of them turnovers.
Ooh, Jets?
Yeah.
7 points off three Bills turnovers.
So 7 points. So even if you didn't turn the ball over, though, turnovers still, they hurt your team. Like, they hurt everything about your team. And even the Jordan Matthews turnover, that's one where you could have gotten 3 points. You could have got 3 points going into halftime to tie that game up. So if you don't turn the ball over, as bad as you played, you still would have been in this thing. You know, it could have been a totally different game, but those turnovers hurt. And the fact that we didn't get the one that we should have got, that one hurt as well. You know, so turnovers lose you ball games. Just like they've been winning when they've been creating those turnovers, you win when you get them. You lose if you turn the ball over.
Two of them happened right at the 31-yard line for the the O'Leary play and the Jordan Matthews play. Jets take, the Bills are ahead at the 31. So are they going in to score? I don't know, but they're getting ready to, you know, threaten to score.
Exactly.
Turn it over at the 31. All right, we're back with more. Another hour to go. Lots of time to hear your thoughts on last night's loss in the Meadowlands of New York. So come on back for that. The John Murphy Show comes to you live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Radio Network Sports Update.
Update from One Bills Drive. Bills players here today doing some conditioning work, looking at video of last night's loss to the New York Jets. The news from the injury front from head coach Sean McDermott just about an hour ago. Running back Tywan Jones, a valuable special teamer, is out for the rest of the year. He broke his arm in last night's loss to the New York Jets. As far as wide receiver Zay Jones, McDermott says they're still evaluating his condition. He left with a knee injury a couple of times in that game last night. Those players get Saturday and Sunday off. Back to work here Monday to get ready for the next game, a home game. The Saints playing in Orchard Park a week from Sunday. 1 o'clock kickoff at New Era Field. Saints are home this Sunday at 1 o'clock in New Orleans to go up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Texans are going to be without Deshaun Watson for the rest of the year. He tore an ACL in practice, midway through practice, late yesterday afternoon. The ACL tear in his right knee. The Texans have signed a couple of quarterbacks to back him up. Matt McGloin will back up Tom Savage, who takes over as the Texans starter. And the Texans also ready to sign T.J. Yates, who spent the offseason and into the preseason with the Buffalo Bills. And Yates and McGloin will be there to back up Tom Savage on the Houston Texans roster. A federal appeals court has granted the NFL Players Association a brief administrative stay in the ongoing Ezekiel Elliott case. That means the Dallas Cowboys running back is eligible to play this Sunday in their game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Buffalo Sabres short road trip heads to Dallas now, a game against the Stars tomorrow night. Buffalo hung on for a 5-4 win in Arizona last night. The Phoenix Coyotes came back from a 5-1 deficit to make it close. Benoit Pouliot scored twice. Kyle Okposo with his first of the season. Seth Griffith with a goal. Evander Kane with his third shorthanded goal of the season in the win. Robin Leonard with 25 saves in net. So it's the Sabres and the Dallas Stars. It's an 8 o'clock faceoff tomorrow night in Dallas. And Sabres continuing on this brief road trip. And that's the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Donald Jones coming to you from our One Buffalo studio. Going to get quiet around here, Donald, as soon as these players leave. They get the weekend off. It is kind of a mini bye.
Mm-hmm.
And, the real bye happened in mid-October when they came off the tough loss at Cincinnati. I think there are reasons to believe that maybe they can regroup a little bit and kind of reset themselves after a couple of games following the bye.
Yeah, you got a couple of reasons. You have, number one, the injuries.
Yep.
Guys from last night, guys who have been injured that you're going to be getting back, starting with, EJ, you're going to get back. It sounds like you're going to get back.
Right.
Charles Clay, it sounds like he has a good chance of coming back. Obviously, you brought in Kelvin Benjamin. I would think he's going to play next week. He should know enough of the playbook by next week to be a huge factor in that game, So, and the Saints, they know about him coming up from that NFC South. They know about him. So, they're going to pay attention to him, So, you got to get the ball to him early in that game. Obviously then you have guys like Zay Jones who got hurt last night, and mm-hmm. we're still trying to figure out what's going on with him. But yeah, when you talk about injuries, that's a plus. And then you talk about having 10 days for the next game, it is like a mini bye. You have an extra time. You can, this coaching staff can now sit together probably or at home separate. I would think they would probably end up doing it together knowing Coach McDermott and watch the Saints game this week. And just watch it and break it down as the game is happening. And they can put together a serious game plan for the Saints. Now, Coach McDermott knows Drew Brees in that offense.
Right.
He's coached against them now for years, So that's a plus. I think you do have this 10 days, and I think it's a plus for this team coming off this horrible loss that they had last night.
Hey, what do you think of the game? What's your biggest takeaway? Not your only takeaway, but maybe your biggest takeaway. That's our Twitter poll today. We're asking folks what they learned about the Buffalo Bills in last night's loss to the New York Jets in the Meadowlands. And the biggest takeaway that you found from the Buffalo Bills loss last night, two-thirds of you say the struggles of the offensive line on Twitter, two-thirds of you say that. 21% say your biggest takeaway is the way the defense played, a lot of missed tackles, no pressure on Josh McCown. 6% say the value of takeaways, we knew they were critical. We saw it last night when the Bills got zero. 6% have something else in mind. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 and toll-free 1-888-550-2550.
I will say this. It's not really a good thing when your team lives and dies by turnovers. And that's what it seems like. That's how this team lives and dies by now. Right now is by
it's
turnovers.
It's good when you're making them.
It's good when you're making them, but, they don't – you're not going to sustain having three or four turnovers a game throughout the entire course of a season, So when you don't get them, you still have to be able to drive the ball down the field and score points consistently, and be able to just stop teams. This team, this defense, and we have been talking about how good this defense has looked. This defense has looked very good. They haven't really given up a lot of points, but they've been giving up a lot of yards for the last few games. They've been giving up a lot of yards. Yesterday, the Jets were just able to turn that into points. And, they created turnovers, but they were able to turn those long yards. Once they got in the red zone, they were scoring points off of that, So all of that being said, you have to be able to score points on a consistent basis on offense and be able to stop teams on defense.
They're giving up points.
You can't just live and die off of turnovers.
We were talking about it on the radio broadcast last night. The first, five Bills games, they gave up an average of 13.5 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the last three, they've given up 27 to Tampa Bay, 14 to Oakland, and 34 last night to the Jets. So they're giving up some points. I'll try to do the math, but I know they went from 13.5 points per game allowed to the last couple of weeks where they're giving up like 25 points per game. That's a major difference. Sean McDermott talked about the job today as film study. And he talked about how this day will go for the Bills as they return here to work following the night game loss to the Jets last night.
Right. Well, we're going to, obviously take our time going through the film today with the players and then revisit it as a coaching staff and follow up in some areas on the film and continue to communicate with what we did well and what we need to improve on. And that's a lot of areas. So, and then from there, we will transition into the Saints, another good opponent, home game for us, and certainly an elite quarterback. So I've had a chance to go against them for a number of years in Carolina in the division there and know what Coach Payton and Drew Brees bring to the table. So a very, very big-time challenge and very good opponent.
A lot of challenges await this Buffalo Bills team in the second half of the season. We're going to talk about the Bills at midseason next Monday and Tuesday.
Challenges and elite quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Drew Brees is one of the best in the history of the game. You know, so Coach McDermott, yes, he knows this offense, but this is a different offense than the Saints that we've known, because they've just been throwing the ball all over the yard for the last few years, and he's putting up 5,000 yards a year. This year, they're running the ball, and they also have a good defense. You know, their defense is playing very well. So, I think this defense has to truly, truly prepare for Drew Brees and that running attack of the Saints, because they're balanced offense,
yeah.
You know, and so they have to come prepared, or it will be a bad game and they won't be undefeated at home anymore.
There's Mike in Hamburg. Welcome to the show, Mike. Your thoughts on last night?
Yeah, basically, I've been saying all along that Rick Dennison, he's got to go. He's a terrible
offense. He's got
to
go?
He's
got to go. A half season, you're ready to chuck the offensive coordinator out the door after 8 games.
You got to keep him for the year.
Oh.
But this is the third game that he has not been able to get Tyrod on the edge. And until you can get Tyrod and McCoy on the edge, you're not going to win games. It took 3/4 of the game against Tampa Bay before they finally figured out to get Tyrod and Shady on the edge. And they finally won that game.
What do you mean on the edge?
Outside the tackles. If you remember the Tampa game, okay, the game was tight all the way through, but Buffalo was not moving the ball. And then all of a sudden, they ran a pitch option, and it was on the Bills' side of the field. He ended up with about a 13-yard run on that play, and that was in like the late third quarter. From that time on, they were able to get to the edge, okay, and make some plays happen.
Okay, well, you know, they're not playing against air. The Bengals, we talked about it with Brownie an hour or so ago, the Bengals had a way to defend the Bills in that game, that loss for the Bills, and it dealt with their outside defenders, their long outside defenders, keeping Tyrod in the pocket. I think the Jets played the same thing last night with Tyrod.
Tony Romo broke it down during the game. Yeah.
What do you say?
He started talking about they were rushing with 5 guys, and when you rush with 5 guys, it allows you to collapse the pocket in on the quarterback, especially when you have some girth up the middle, and you know your guys up the middle are pushing back into the quarterback's face. Tyrod, when he was stepping up into somebody. You could see him a couple times he would step up, still looking down the field, and then he had nothing, and you had linebackers there, and then he would try to take off, and there was nowhere to go. You know, so look, their defensive front was just good yesterday, all right? That's just what it was. You could try to roll them out as much as you could, but they were doing a very good job of pushing and doing what they were supposed to do on the outside, rushing outside and pushing up the middle so that Tyrod couldn't go anywhere. And, you know, you saw it on the one play where they ran like he faked it to LeSean McCoy going to the left. Tyrod Taylor took it all the way to the right sideline. It was wide open for him. You know, but you're not going to run that the entire game. Overall, it all was up front, all right? The Jets' defensive line dominated the Bills' offensive line.
Let's take a call from Brandon in Clarence, New York. Hello, Brandon. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I like Rick Dennison. I think he's a smart guy. There's just a couple things that confuse me. One is, I know Cordy Glenn had a bad game yesterday, but ever since preseason, Dukas is like at least half the time getting rocked off the ball. And I don't understand why. I know he's a little bigger than John Miller, but I don't know if it's his technique or he's not strong enough, or I just don't think that's a good decision. And my other thing was, in the fourth quarter when we were down 3 scores, every once in a while they'd put Tyrod behind the center and I was just praying they wouldn't run the ball. And it seemed like every time he was behind center, instead of in shotgun, they would run the ball. It was almost like I could, if I can tell that on TV, I'm sure the Jets knew it was coming too. So it was just a couple of the play calling in the fourth quarter, and I don't know why they keep putting Dukas in. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks. I mean, I don't know either. I'm guessing it's because they figure he's the best option that they have. And as you point out, there's a size difference between Dukas and John Miller. But, yeah, it's a legitimate question, Donald. And I don't know. Look, every time they lose a game, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say they're probably going to lose a couple more.
Yeah.
Every time they lose a game, I don't know if you have to, you know, reinvent the wheel. You know, find your people, stick with your people. They right. do have some semblance of continuity on the offensive line. They have a couple of good games from the offensive line going into last night's game. Last night was not good, but I don't know if you need to go back to the drawing board every time you lose.
It's kind of just the world we live in. You know, when you win, we overreact.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this team is good, and we talked about they're coming together as a family and all of that stuff. When you lose, it's like, they got to fire the coach.
Yeah.
the quarterback, you need a new quarterback. You need this. You need that. You got to go watch the film, see the things that you did wrong, and that's the players and the coaches, and come out the next game and correct it. But you're not going to, like you said, reinvent the wheel and do something new every single week because you feel like, oh, that didn't work. We got to change the whole playbook around, and we got to, you know, bench this player and put this. It doesn't work like that.
No. It's Frank in Williamsville. Hello, Frank. Welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, John. I think the Bills were looking past the Jets to the long weekend. It disappointed me that they lost the physical matchups of the game. And one thing that bothered me was it seemed that instead of focusing on fundamental tackling, they were more focused on trying to pop the ball out of the runner's arm, even when they were behind the guy, and they should have been trying to chase him down and tackle him. That kind of disappointed me. I feel that they got physically outmanned by the Jets yesterday. And maybe it's just because the Jets had everything to lose, and they were playing for their lives there, and the Bills weren't. But I hope they learn from it. Also, when Jets fumbled, the tight end fumble, and when you see that, it's like, oh, my God, they're just not good. I mean, they don't let the bad taste run off. I understand why it was a fumble, but I don't think I've ever seen that before. Have you?
Which one? Nick O'Leary's fumble?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Look, it was a bad play. It really was. I don't fault him for getting up and running. You're supposed to get up and run. They stripped the ball out of his hands, you know, and that's really what it was. I think people are getting caught up in the fact that he went to the ground, wasn't touched, got up and started running, and then got stripped. So it made it look even worse. But, you know, that's what he's supposed to do, get up and run. If you didn't get touched, get up and keep going. Now, we don't want you to
run and hang out of the ball.
Right. We don't want you to get stripped, but you're supposed to get up and run, you know. What else did he say? He said something else.
I'm not sure. About not playing physical enough, I guess.
Yeah, he said not playing physical enough.
And looking past to the weekend off, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
I mean,
the schedule's there. They knew the schedule. I don't know. Just got to play better. Sean McDermott was asked. Oh, he's talking about missed tackles, and the coach was asked about that.
Yeah.
Let's hear what Coach McDermott had to say when he was asked about an hour ago about the many missed tackles the Bills had in the loss to the New York Jets.
You know, nothing in particular. You know, it's going back to the fundamentals bucket, Sal. It's one of those deals that if you don't stay on it every week in practice every day, and I'm not saying we didn't. It's just it rears its ugly head just like other fundamentals. And so this game is so fundamentally based, and you know yourself as a coach that's what happens. And in order to play well on defense and special teams, you have to tackle well. And then you have to use your hands to get off blocks. It's a game of, you know, what they call hand violence, and you've got to be able to play with your hands on both sides of the ball.
That's what the coach had to say about missed tackles.
You know, I said this earlier in the show. It looked like everybody's trying to punch the ball out. They're trying to punch the ball out. And because of that, yeah, you were missing tackles. You know, these running backs are good. Now, you're going to have those times where you can punch the ball out, and it's like, wow, he actually stripped that ball. We saw last week with Matt Milano. You know, he stripped that thing from – we saw it yesterday with Nick O'Leary. You know, but with the Nick O'Leary play, what you did have was the first guy held him up. The second guy came in and stripped that ball out, you know. So that's how it's supposed to happen. The first guy there, you're supposed to secure tackle. Now, you punch for the ball, but you punch through a secure tackle. And the next guy can come in and just strip, and see if he can get it out. That's not what they were doing yesterday. You saw a lot of arm tackling and a lot of missed tackles because they were trying to go for the ball.
Which one of the guys says, "Gimme Punk"? Which one of those guys said that?
Say, "Gimme Punk"?
Yeah.
The guy who stripped Nick O'Leary. "Gimme Punk."
I love that. I think about that a lot. Jack calling from Lockport. Hello, Jack. Welcome. You're on the air with us.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I was wondering what you guys' opinion is on the new coach McDermott. When he ever since he came in, he's been talking about building a new culture for the Bills, one that demonstrates willingness to win, discipline, all kinds of fundamentals. We just heard about all these kinds of things. Yesterday, I saw number 55, Jerry Hughes, do something that doesn't appeal to any of those things. I'm wondering if you think there should be something done about Jerry Hughes' behavior. It's not just, and I'm not just saying for this one game. He's got a long history here with the Bills of all these antics, and it was outrageous what he did to those officials yesterday.
Yeah, Jack, I hear what you're saying, and this goes all the way back to, you know, this is like the first time this year, I think, that Jerry has had an unsportsmanlike conduct, right? This year?
I'm not sure.
I feel like this is the first time this year. Now, last year, we saw it a bunch of times. Yeah. And the year before, we saw it a bunch of times, you know. But this year, which is a new coaching staff, you know, he's kind of been under control. Last night, he didn't keep it in check, you know. And like Chris Brown was talking about, he got the penalty with the refs. He did headbutt somebody because I remember sitting there and I'm watching him. Like, he just headbutted an offensive lineman. And he got away with it. Jack?
I think he's gone.
No, all right. You know, he headbutted that offensive lineman, and he got away with it, but you can't do that because, you know, a lot of times you get caught doing something like that, you know. So that is something that he has to keep in check. But I'm sure he and McDermott went and they talked about it. He's a leader of this team. Guys do look up to him, but, you know, he's not going to bench him or something because of – I feel like this is the first time we've had a game like this out of Jerry this year.
McDermott, the coach, was asked about Jerry Hughes about an hour ago, and here are his thoughts on Jerry Hughes' unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Yeah, I wasn't happy about it. You know, penalties overall I'm not happy about, and then those types of penalties are not characteristic of how we do things here. And, you know, it's hard enough to win in this league, and when you do things like that, I wasn't very happy about it.
What sort of discipline have you imposed or can you impose on Jerry for that?
Well, that'll be between Jerry and I.
Dun, dun, dun. Right? We may never know about discipline.
He talked to him about it, you know, and he's not going to fine him or anything like that.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure.
Neither am I.
I'm not sure. I don't know what Coach McDermott is going to do. He said he's going to talk to him about it, you know. I think he's going to talk to him about it man to man. We can't have that, you know. And if you continue to do things like that, then, you know, we have to do something about you being on the field as much. But it's not like we're going to bench you right now. We're going to talk about this. Yeah. I need you to correct this. If you can't correct it now that we've talked face-to-face, then we have to make a move.
Hughes spent a good long time on the bench after that penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And
send a message.
And I was actually mentioning to Mark Kelso on the radio broadcast how you could see McDermott pacing the sideline right after that. Like, I wouldn't want to be in his way because he looked like he wanted to strangle somebody.
You know, what do we have? 11 penalties yesterday.
Yep.
And we had, 99 yards off of penalties, right, to go against the Bills. And 6 out of those 11 were pre-snap penalties. How many personal conduct or, like, personal foul penalties, 15-yard automatic first down penalties did they have? I think they had, like, 4 of them. You know, that's what you can't have. You can't have things like what Jerry did. You had the sack, which Cedric Thornton, where he grabbed the face mask and didn't have to do that.
Yep.
And I know that happens in a game throughout the course of a game, but that was a big-time play to go against them. You know, they gave him another 15 yards. I mean, they can't have these. You had, I think, Shaq. Shaq had one. He hit the quarterback, which you can't have things like that. That you give him extra 15 yards, it's just not something that you want to do. You can't have that type of stuff. The pre-snap penalties have to stop. You can't have false starts and offsides and things like that. Those are penalties that kill drives. But when you have those 15-yard, you know, personal foul type of penalties, that's just you losing your head. And that's what he's trying to get out of this team. He's trying to, like, take that all the way out of this team. He's trying to change the culture. And it didn't show last night out there on the field.
Hey, we do this usually on Mondays. Obviously, this is the day after the game. We kind of go through what we liked, what we didn't like. Mm-hmm. Want to spend a couple of minutes and do that right here, Donald?
Okay.
What did I like about the game? Let me start at the outset and say, not much. There wasn't much to like. But I did like to see a couple of the players return to the lineup, including Jordan Poyer and Ramon Humber. I think they both, on a really tough day for the defense, I think Poyer and Humber acquitted themselves pretty well. And I was happy to see them contribute, and that's one of the things I liked. What about you?
Those guys did contribute yesterday, and I'm happy to see those guys back as well. They're going to need them next week, so hopefully these 10 days they can just heal up and heal up some more. For me, I liked Zay Jones out there yesterday. You know, he showed some confidence out there. Obviously, he scored his first touchdown, and the celebration was fun, even though we didn't get to see the entire celebration. But I like to see him start to catch some passes. And it was a tough break for him, you know. Did you think he got tripped purposely?
I do think he got tripped, didn't you?
I still haven't seen the play again. I got to go back and watch that play again.
I think it was a trip. I have never been a fan at all of Buster Skrine. I think he's inept.
Yeah, I know.
I think he's inept, and I don't know if he's a good guy or not. But to me, it looked like a trip on Zay Jones. Maybe it was inadvertent. I actually saw a quote from the locker room, the Jets locker room, where Skrine said, oh, we got our feet tangled up. But it looked kind of deliberate to me, didn't it? I don't know.
It's so hard to tell. I watched the play for our viewers on the MSG side, because he was, you know, he did stick his foot out. You can see that.
Yeah.
But he also got burned, you know, so I can't tell if he was just trying to plant to come back and his leg got caught out there or not. I can't really tell there. I'm going to take his word for it. I hope that he wouldn't do something like that, because something like that can happen where you hurt another player, you know, and you could end somebody's career like that, you know. So it was tough because Zay Jones killed him on the route. Like, he killed him, and Tyrod was going to throw it that way. I think he did throw it that way, you know. And I love to see Zay Jones, though, coming into his own yesterday and making catches and showing that confidence, getting up after he would catch a first down, like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I like to see that with these young players. Tough break for him. Hopefully he can come back strong.
Here's another thing I liked, and we had to think hard to find stuff we liked. Yeah, but you know what I liked? Not necessarily about last night's game. I like what it sets up, and that's the return of two guys, or at least in one case, the introduction into the offense of guys who are likely to be contributors. You'd have to think, what if I told you that you'd get Charles Clay back for the Saints game and Kelvin Benjamin? Those are two offensive weapons that you add to your roster for the second half of the season. I think that's kind of big, and I like the way that sets up for the Bills moving forward.
Ooh, it's hard for me to get something else. You came up with Colton Schmidt.
He had a good game,
but it's a bad thing if you're a punter. We're talking about, Colton Schmidt had a great game.
Yeah.
You know, that means you're not doing something right on offense.
All right, what did you not like?
Ooh, now there's a longer list
here.
There's a long list of things that I didn't like. I didn't like the bad tackling. We were just talking about that. That's the biggest thing that I saw yesterday, just too many missed tackles, guys going for the ball, and not making sure wrap-up tackles, you know. And that's something we see all over the league. But we hadn't seen that out of this team. We saw it a lot yesterday, bad gap integrity and all of that stuff. All of that gap integrity, all of that is, you know, it's all good stuff to talk about. Didn't happen, and you have to do it the right way. Ultimately, make the tackles. You know, when you get to the guy, make the tackle.
Here's something I did not like, and it goes to my point about the, you know, the takeaway spigot was shut down yesterday. And it's not to blame Leonard Johnson, but that was a big play. I can't help feeling that was a big play early on when he had the interception in his hands at about the 25 or 30-yard line, and he could not hang on. Because, again, as I said earlier in the show, you got to believe that if he makes this pick, the Bills are going to be set up at about the Jets' 30-yard line. In the back of their minds, they got to know, this is what we do, this is who we are, we take it away again, and now we're going to score. Field goal or touchdown. And I just think that was a big play that in some ways may have set the tone, and I hated to see that happen last night.
Another thing that I didn't like is something we've been talking about all day, and that's line play. And we've been talking a lot about the offensive line, but that defensive line didn't play well yesterday. They didn't really get to the quarterback consistently. You know, I know the ball was coming out fast, but They didn't play well yesterday getting to the quarterback, and they didn't stop the run yesterday either. No. You know, and that's something we had seen out of this defensive front as well. So offensively and defensive line, I just didn't like the way they played last night.
There was a lot going on last night, a lot of bad plays, and we chronicled some of them, some of the good plays as well. And this week's edition of Game Rewind, it's presented by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. To McCown, looks to his right, traffic that way, pressured, rolls left. McCown on the run. Now he crosses the line of scrimmage inside the five, rolling into the end zone for the touchdown. Shotgun formation, Tyrod takes, looks, looking left, fires down the middle of the end zone, and is caught. Touchdown, Zay Jones! Zay Jones, touchdown, Buffalo! McCown, a deep drop, looks, fires into the end zone, looking for Anderson, and he makes the catch in the end zone. Touchdown, New York. Forte runs to his right, cuts up the middle, inside the five, headed to the end zone, he is in. Touchdown, New York. Taylor in the shotgun, takes the snap. Here comes pressure, straight up the middle. Tyrod stares it down, fires downfield. Great catch by Nick O'Leary. And he's brought down at the, he's still on his feet, inside the 35. Now the ball comes out, rolling around at the 30-yard line. Jets say they have it. Tyrod takes the shotgun pass, has to step up from pressure. Gets away from it, runs to his right. Ball is knocked out. Loose ball at the 18. The Jets scoop it up. Running back the other way, it goes to Mario Davis. A snap. McCown gives it to Forte. Driving over the pile, gets into the end zone. Touchdown, New York. Tyrod looks to the end zone. Looking for Thompson. Gets some separation. Down in the end zone, and he makes the catch. Touchdown. Tyrod Taylor, 26 yards to Deontay Thompson for the second Buffalo touchdown of the game. Buffalo trailing 34-21. That should do it. Yeah, that did it all right. 13-point loss. That's the Toshiba Game Rewind presented by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills.
That was the shortest game rewind this year.
For good reason.
Yeah.
All right, a lot more to come. We'll hear more from Sean McDermott and his comments today about moving forward with this Buffalo Bills team. We've got interesting comments from Richie Incognito from the locker room last night about Thursday Night Football. We'll play those for you when we come back. The John Murphy Show, presented by Napa Auto Parts on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show.
We're back with about 24 minutes of the John Murphy Show today, and then we're back on Monday. And at Monday, when we return to the show, we're going to start talking about the Bills at midseason. A very special edition of the John Murphy Show coming up Monday. The Bills at midseason, Donald.
This is a special week.
It's a very special edition. Hey, we talked going into the game all this past week about the challenge of playing on Thursday night, the difficulty of playing Thursday night football. It's real. It's there. And it didn't work out for the Bills. And after the game, I was standing right there in the locker room when Richie Incognito was asked a question about something else. I don't have the transcript in front of me, but he was asked about something else, and he immediately turned it into a kind of a harangue about Thursday Night Football, how difficult it could be. Let me see if I can find it. He was asked, it didn't seem like there was much energy on the part of the Bills, and here's what Richie Incognito had to say.
Yeah, you know, it's tough, man. These Thursday night games, they suck. They throw a wrench in our schedule. It's absolutely ridiculous that we have to do this. As physical as this game is, and as much work and preparation that goes into this to force us to play games on 4-day weeks, it's completely unfair. And you know, whatever, the league makes money off of it, and that's all they care about anyway. So we just keep trucking. I mean, we got a tough group of guys in this locker room, and back to the drawing board, back to Buffalo, and got the Saints.
Let me say, Donald, I agree with almost everything Richie says right there. But that's not the time nor the place right. To raise that issue. It was a bad optic for Incognito to say that at that time.
It was. And to be honest with you, it makes it look like this is what you were thinking about coming into this week. You know, were you focused on the game? Was the team focused on the game? Or were you guys thinking about and probably talking about, man, this is going to be tough. It's a Thursday. This is not even right. We got to play on Thursday. We got to travel. You know, is that what you guys were thinking about? And is that why you guys came out so flat? You know, because it is tough for players, and it's tough for coaches. It's tough for everybody involved that has to make that trip. And the guys, especially the players who have to go out there and play on the field when your body hasn't recovered really from the last week. It's tough for for those guys. But the Jets had to go through the same thing. It's not like they were coming off a bye week or right. something like that, you know, or it's not like they were coming off a long week or something. They had a short week just like you. The only difference is they didn't have to travel. So, you know, this is the point blank. The team did not come out on their A game, you know, for whatever reasons. Maybe it was what you were thinking about. Whatever the reason was, you did not come ready to play, and you were lumped up because of that.
Mike Tolbert said similar things in the locker room post-game. Lorenzo Alexander disagreed with that. I'm looking for – oh, here it is. Mike Tolbert said he was asked about the incognito comments, and Tolbert said, you know, I'm 10 years in the league, so I notice any days that I don't get off now. Do I like playing – here's Tolbert's quote. It was pretty good. Do I like playing on Thursday? No. Is it an excuse? No. It's one of those things we have to deal with as professionals. And I think that is probably the
right. –
That's probably the right
That's what it is.
Way to look at it.
That's exactly what it is. The league tries to do a good job of making sure that, look, it's a short week for both teams. One team obviously has to travel. It's not like you're flying across the country. We talked about it, you know, earlier in the week. You're playing usually a team in your division. They try to make it a short flight so that you can travel right there and play against that team. So you can't really use it as an excuse because at the end of the year, if this loss costs you a chance in the playoffs – what are you going to say? Well, it was a Thursday night game, and it was a short week. That doesn't matter. You right. still lost the game, and they won the game.
Right.
You know, so if they were to end up going to the playoffs, the Jets, and the Bills lost, they could look back and say, well, we beat you. You know, even though the Bills won one game, too, we beat you on that Thursday night game, and that's the reason. He used it as an excuse, and we didn't.
A couple of other interesting comments coming out of the locker room yesterday. I had a brief interview with Tre'Davious White, who struggled, I think it's fair to say, right, with the deep pass that went against him and missed tackle, one of those missed tackles on the run by Forte. But Tre'Davious White, as has become his custom, really takes it hard and takes it hard personally when the Bills lose and when stuff happens that he doesn't think he played up to par. Listen to what Tre'Davious White had to say just overall about the loss to the Jets and his performance.
The Jets played a great game. They definitely just, you know, outplayed us. This is the second game where I picked the wrong night to play the worst game of my life, man. Gave up, two touchdowns. But the game was 7-10. I gave up a touchdown pass. And then the next touchdown, I gave up. I missed a tackle. So. And it's gonna be a long 10 days for me. I don't know what to say, man. You know, I played the worst of my life. Caused the team yet another game. I caused us the Cincinnati game, and now I caused us this one. So I don't know what it is. I prepared well. I got great rest. I mean, I did my usual thing, but I don't know.
Takes it hard, and, you know, you almost want to say, all right, Tre'Davious, learn from this, move on. Obviously, you don't think you played well. That's fine, but he gets, I think, maybe a little bit too deep into it, a little bit too down.
You know, for the most part, throughout the courses of games, he'll come back and make a big play. You know, yesterday he wasn't able to make that big play, and it's all good. He didn't make it yesterday. But look, Tre'Davious, as well as he's played, he's a rookie. You know, he still has to go through his ups and downs, his bumps and bruises as a rookie. And we've talked about him all year as being, we're going to do these midseason grades. He's probably going to get one of those grades.
Are we doing grades? Wait a minute.
Midseason awards or however we want to do it.
Awards?
He's going to be talked about in these midseason.
As a bright spot.
As a bright spot. Exactly. Yeah. And we're going to talk about his ups and downs throughout the year, but how he bounces back and always comes through with the big play. And last night he was hard on himself. Maybe that's kind of just how he psychs himself out.
Yeah.
You know, I hope that's what it is. Let me just psych myself out. I'm a rope-a-dope myself. into thinking I played horrible, and then next week he comes out and catches two interceptions or something like
that. Well, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, we're just kind of getting to know this kid, and he is a kid, and it's an interesting – if that's his strategy, it's interesting. I haven't seen that a whole lot. A lot of guys – a lot of defensive backs are defiant in similar circumstances. I didn't play bad. I'm good. I'll be. You know what I mean? They got a little edge to them.
I didn't play bad.
Yeah, they got edge to them, right? Mm-hmm.
Tre'Davious is honest.
Yeah.
You know, at least he's honest. Like, look, I know him. My thing is, yeah, he missed a tackle, and he had the catch over him, but all DBs in this league will give up a touchdown. You know, it's you don't want it to be a consistent thing every game where teams are just like, we're going to go up top. Because I can almost guarantee you, teams are not looking at Tre'Davious White saying, we want to test that kid right there. Every week, we want to test that kid right there. Tre'Davious has been covering the team's number one receivers, and so it's just kind of worked out like that. There are games that you – and let me tell you something. Every team, every offensive coordinator, and every defensive coordinator, especially I know on offense, we would go into games and say, that's the weak link on their team. We want to go at this guy every single play if we can, you know. And they're not looking at Tre'Davious saying that. So I think he comes in and he's hard on himself. But I don't know why he's so hard on himself. But for the most part, he bounces back, you know. And I truly think he's just trying to psych himself out and make us believe he's down on himself.
I'm anticipating he will. Okay, we got a couple of minutes here to play NFL True or False. It is brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. Some of the stories, some of the storylines around the National Football League. Donald and I are here to stamp them either true or false. And this came up today. A writer, Matt Harmon for NFL.com, he is associate fantasy football writer, editor for NFL.com. His headline is, the Bills offense sputters behind slowing LeSean McCoy. His premise, LeSean McCoy is losing a step. He uses metrics, a lot of metrics, which, you know, I get it. Those are important. You got to look at that. But his conclusion is, at this point, it's hard to deny that McCoy hasn't lost at least a fraction of the step. He's a 29-year-old running back, well over 2,000 career touches. We shouldn't be that surprised. LeSean McCoy has lost a step. I think it's false. I've seen every snap he's taken over 2.5 years now here in Buffalo. And when he gets some blocks and when he's right and healthy, he's dynamic. I don't think he's lost a step. Now, we'll revisit this, I guess, at the end of the year, coming off one of his worst games with the Bills last night. But LeSean McCoy has lost a step. I'm calling false on that one, Donald.
Look, LeSean McCoy made a play that we're looking at right now for the viewers on MSG. He made a play last night where he spun out and went all the way to the right sideline. That was a great play by LeSean McCoy. He broke one for, 58 yards last week, you know, and they didn't catch him.
Yeah.
You know, so we've seen him make crazy plays in the passing game on third and 20 or something like that. He goes for 22 yards on a screen or something like that. I'm going to go false on this. I don't think he's lost a step. What I do think is that, number one, they've been stacking the boxes on him. And, you know, we've had Eric Wood on talk about it's hard to block against that type of box, you know. Hopefully now that they have Kelvin Benjamin, that will ease these defenses back and he won't have to play against 8-man boxes all the time. Then we can truly say if he's lost a step or not. I'm going to say false. I don't think so.
That's false. I do. Matt Harmon wrote it, McCoy slowing down. Using next-gen stats, which I get, and the stat that they cite is yards gained. The Bills are top five in yards gained before defenders close, within a yard, bottom five in yards after. I mean, come on. That's cutting a little fine, I think. NFL, true or false? Topic two, the Raiders running out of time to save their season. Based on their loss here last Sunday in Orchard Park, the Raiders now 3-5. And they spent the week in Florida. We'll see what kind of team bonding, what kind of kumbaya moment they have coming up here as they play the Dolphins this Sunday. They don't get home again until the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We talked about that a week ago. Raiders running out of time to save their season. I say, yes, that's true. I'd be worried if I were a Raiders fan.
I'd be worried, too. I'd be worried that, you know, how they played to start the season off, how they played last week. I'd be worried that they won't be back home, really, until after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I'd
Sunday
be worried.
After Thanksgiving.
I think, to be honest with you, I think their season might be a done deal, you know, with all of those away games, including that game, which is technically a home game down in Mexico against the Patriots. I think the Patriots are going to beat up on them. I think it might be a done deal, especially when you have the Kansas City Chiefs who are really running away with that thing up there.
All right. NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy New York's Artisan Cheese. We're back with more in a moment. The John Murphy Show presented by Napa Auto Parts from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
The John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
And now, what have we learned from today's show?
It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. What did we learn? Well, from Chris Brown, we learned a couple of reasons why the Bills lost to the New York Jets. Chris Brown, Bills insider at BuffaloBills.com, outlined what he thought were the major issues in that Buffalo Bills defeat.
I still think the bigger thing was the battle at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. They lost in spectacular fashion. It was awful, awful. And, you know, people say, they want to make excuses about the Thursday night game, not getting enough time to run. Well, the Jets were in the same boat. The only thing they didn't have to do was travel. And if you look at all the Thursday night games this year, the road team is 5-4 in 9 games. So it's split right down the middle. So don't use Thursday night in a short week as an excuse. The players, for the most part, were not last night, to their credit.
Chris Brown on the loss last night. We had Greg Cosell on the show, executive producer of ESPN's NFL matchup. And he talked about the Bills' trade for Kelvin Benjamin earlier this week.
He's a big receiver. I wouldn't say he's a real precise route runner, but he's, as they say, a 50-50 catch guy, Donald, you know, where if he can make catches when he's covered. He can win when he's covered because of his size, because of his ability to go get the ball. And, I always liked Kelvin Benjamin. And, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean were obviously in Carolina when he was drafted. And I know for a fact that there were a number of people on that staff who liked Kelvin Benjamin coming out more than Mike Evans. And they were in the same draft.
Greg Cosell and Kelvin Benjamin. Donald, have a great weekend. Get ready for next week and a midseason update coming up on Monday on the show.
I'm looking forward to it on this midseason. Do we need to grade each other?
Yes.
Midseason.
Oh, yes.
And our producers, interns, everybody?
Red pen.
All right, we can do midseason grades on everybody in this whole department.
All right. We'll see you Monday. Thanks, everyone, for contributing to the show. We'll see you Monday at 12 noon with the John Murphy Show from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.